If you want to be a wise guy, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be a strong man, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be an Indian chief, cowboy, you can do it anywhere. You can't do it anymore.
Radio. It's been a while, but I'm back. It is the Nature Boy, the man, the internet icon, the pride of the pilgrims, handsome Jackie Jones, stepping back here and in your head, along with my right-hand man,
one-inch biceps, the power gold. I'm the man who tells you what to do. I'm the boss. And I have a gut that's full of chili.
Really?
Yes.
So chili ass over here.
If you hear some flatulence tonight, it's quite possibly the chili.
Mm.
Beans, beans, the musical fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot.
The more you toot, the better you feel. So eat more beans with every meal.
Hell yeah. Protein,
you know who's telling me to eat beans?
Who's telling you to eat beans now, Jackie Jones?
Who's telling me beans and fruit, vegetables, whole grains, free-range chicken, bison, seafood, and nuts. And that would be the man who sent me DDP yoga, Diamond Dallas Page.
He sent DDP yoga to your personal address?
Yes. He's like, listen, hey, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Bro. And he's like, I want you to do this yoga, and you talk about it. And I'm sending pictures, and I was like, it's the sending picture stuff makes me like, it's like, now I feel like pressure.
The pictures is what's getting you.
Yeah, well, because if I just made it up and pretended I did it, then I could just come on here and say, like, oh, yeah, I'm doing all kinds of yoga. That's like, I got to actually do it.
Uh-huh. He wants proof.
Yes.
Damn.
DDP yoga.
How'd you get talked into this one?
Oh, you sent it to me for free, so.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Did Norn Rad encourage you to get onto the DDP yoga?
Yes. He's a high. He's a man behind the DDP yoga.
Mm-hmm.
He says he lost like 30 pounds and now he can do the PAFO.
So tell me this, Jackie Jones. You will tell me. It is time for you to answer. And that is Jackie Jones, a.k.a. Neil Jones. You will tell me. Are you going to follow up with the DDP yoga? Or are you actually going to do it?
DDP yoga. We will see. I'm going to do it. I need a yoga mat. The DDPO gets just basically just an envelope. And he's got, like, a booklet and, like, CDs, DVDs.
Hmm.
Then you gotta buy mats and all this other stuff.
Mats. Can't you just grab some foam out of the garage or something and use it instead?
I'm gonna do it in the basement.
Oh, yeah.
Hard full floor there in the basement.
You should have, like, some pretty strong knees, though, because you're always on them.
Praying to the Lords above, but that's not true because Jackie Jones is your Lord. He is your Savior. I am the podcast God. You might be a boss, inch man, but I am the God. What do you think about that?
Are we going about, like, Greek mythology? Because there's more than one God. Could I be the God of something?
God of pleasing Jackie Jones. You know what I got tonight, too?
Yes,
I haven't opened it yet.
What's that?
I've got some Neuro Bliss. I know you love it when I do the show drinking this.
Neuro Bliss. Is that stuff that makes you go insane?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure they're just bottling cocaine and selling it to you. If I ever need to pull an all-nighter, I'll have to get some of that stuff.
Yeah. When we do the all-nighters, we usually pop this pill that Annabelle brings with.
All-nighters.
It's totally legal. They're saying in the chat room, Jack's going to be in the accountability house before we know it.
The accountability house?
Mm.
Like the nut house?
No, with Jake the Snake and Scott Hall.
Oh, I didn't realize it was called that. He calls it the accountability house?
Yeah. It's wonder he doesn't really call it the DDP house. Hey, bro.
You're in the accountability house, bro. If you spill something on the floor, bro, you gotta be held accountable for it. Mm-hmm. Did you dirty this dish? Freaking Jake Roberts? Well, you're held accountable for it.
Well,
welcome to the accountability house.
Scott Hall, he's out there. He's taking pictures. He's out there. He's doing the...
Who did it, my pink Cadillac? You're going to be held accountable for it.
There's Scott Hall and Kevin Nash and X-Pac and the Hulkster. So then Hulkster takes that opportunity. He's, like, tweeting, like, knows no tomorrow. He's like, if these three guys and all I need is the Hulk is Hollywood and we could rule wrestling again.
Hulkster's in the accountability house? Is that what you're
saying? No, I'm just saying this Hall has turned his life around because of the accountability house.
Uh-huh.
Now he's in good shape. He's at the signing, taking pictures with Hall, with Kevin Nash and X-Pac. Hogan gets involved. Now Hogan's trying to put out all this stuff on Twitter about, you know, basically NWO coming back. He's just trying any way he can to get back to WWE.
Jesus Christ. Hulk Hogan will be pulling this shit when he's like 80 or 90. He'd be typing away from his, like, retirement home. Like,
you know
yeah,
what,
brother,
though?
We're coming back.
You know what?
What's
up? I would like to see Hogan. Wouldn't you like to see the NWO come back? I would rather see that than most of
I'm
wrong.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a Big Show Randy Orton feud a brewing. I definitely think I'd rather see NWO over that. But it's like I remember the last time the NWO came back to the the WWE version, and it wasn't so hot. I mean,
Hogan Rock is one of the best WrestleMania matches of all time.
Well, yeah, that was the highlight of the entire thing. So I guess that would give you something if there's something. Just that good. Kind of ruined that angle, though, because everybody loved Hogan so much.
It made it great. That match is amazing because both guys, they knew it. They were in the ring. They were pros. They said, hey, brother, this crowd's behind me, brother. You're just a J-Brone. So it didn't rock. Didn't like, I'm going to play it up and try to get them on my side. I'm not going to be seen and just smile like they love me. I'm going to play the heel! And Hogan played the face, and it was magical.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good match, and I love that. That's one of my favorite moments at WrestleMania, to be honest. But it's like the NWO angle. It didn't go very far after that.
Yeah, well, Hall was pretty bad in drugs.
Yeah, I know, like him and Austin, they had like a little feud going, and it wasn't so hot. And then they brought Shawn Michaels and put him into the NWO.
Yeah, and Booker T. That wasn't good, but I don't know. I'd like to. I'll be honest. I'd like to see him walk out there.
What the hell? Let's see it.
I want to see Hulk Hogan. It's WrestleMania 30. He started WrestleMania. He is WrestleMania. It's number 30. It's a milestone. He's getting up there. Mm-hmm. I'd like to, he hasn't been in WWE in years. I want to see Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 30. I don't care what anyone says. They've ruined everybody else.
Yeah. Well, tell me this, Neil Jones, with your wrestling knowledge. Sorry, every now and then I'm going to go wacko biceps. Every now and then tonight.
But! Exclamation.
But! And period.
Bullshit and lies as well.
So don't give me any of that bullshit and lies.
And the ego as well. If you don't know what we're talking about, go and join the Facebook page over on facebook.com/IYHWrestling.
And you will be amazed by the things that you see.
Yes.
Not sure you'll necessarily like it, but you will be amazed.
So what were you going to ask me?
Well, you know, it seems that WWE is going to, you know, into, like, pushing the big men once again. Is this a good thing?
I think they need to push someone.
Yeah.
It seems like every time they get behind someone, they immediately just, like, cut their legs out from under them. Ryback was really over last year. Then he went on this losing streak that continues till today.
he did have potential to be a big star. But
I don't think I talked about this Daniel Bryan. Now, SummerSlam, I think it was SummerSlam where they did and I defended that. And the next night in Raw, I defended that. Then it went on for like 8 straight weeks of total decimation where it was just like Stephanie and Triple H and Orton would just destroy Daniel Bryan every week on Raw. And while you're watching that, you're thinking, okay, well, at the end of the day, Daniel Bryan's going to come out and talk. Because that's basic storytelling. You beat down your hero, then at the end he comes back and wins. And after a while, you think, well, even if he comes, even when he does come back and win, by that point, it's too long. It's like they've destroyed him so much, you're not even going to really care. And all these screw jobs out of title and non-finishes on pay-per-view. Then at the end of this story, he doesn't even win anyway. He gets destroyed for 8 weeks, gets screwed out of the belt, and ends up losing. He never gets his comeuppance. He never gets his revenge. No. Never gets his moment. What kind of storytelling is that? And then I see people like, "Whoa, the buy rates for SummerSlam were down." Yeah, but they didn't know that while they're booking this angle.
Well, it's kind of like they booked the angle to be like he's just the odd man out, and he'll never be the face of the WWE. And then it kind of works its way into being, you know, reality. It's like now they're blaming him for the low buy rates, and they're saying, like, it's all his fault. And it's like, So it's like the whole angle was about him being held down, and in the end, that's exactly what's happening. It's like in the mouth of madness here.
Yes. If you're told enough on TV, this guy's a nobody, you shouldn't like him, eventually you'll think, you know what? This guy's just a friggin' nobody.
Mm-hmm. We all thought he was a virgin until he started banging one of the Bellas.
We don't know. Did he really, though?
They haven't. I don't know. Man. They haven't. She's just playing really hard to get. Man. Well, yeah. It is pretty crappy how they've presented Daniel Bryan in WWE.
And I was kidding. At first, I was like, this is going to end up with Big Show in the world title picture as the main guy, and that's what's happened. And people would attack them. One person in particular, like, where do you think, how do you figure that Big Show's in the main event? It's like, because he's on the main event every week. It's very bizarre. People on the Facebook page, well, one guy in particular, it's just like, no matter what WWE is, he is there to defend it. Well, a couple people. There's Extreme Falls, and then there's this other guy. Oh, my God. It's like Mark McMarkelson.
Well, Mark McMarkelson has nothing on Extreme Falls. He is the heavyweight champion of taking up for WWE.
Yes, he is. Reezy, you guys got to join the Facebook page. It's very fun. You know what we're talking about. But he calls him the son of the one-man gang. This Mickey McMickelson. And it's very fitting because you see the picture and he does look like a little one-man gang.
Huh.
El Hijo del one-man gang.
I'm not going to mess with that guy.
Nah, he's in a wheelchair.
Well, that's terrible, Jack.
Well, he is. I don't know. Just saying. I'm not saying I'm proud of that.
I'm pretty sure, like, they build their arms up, wheeling themselves around. He could probably tear your asshole open. You never know. You never know.
Why would he want to do that? What kind of fighting are you kidding?
Let's teach you a lesson. He grabs whatever orifice is closest to him, and he rips it apart.
Man. Have you ever been in a fight where assholes have been torn apart? I know you're like a scrapper.
No, I've never been in one of those kind of fights. You might want to check with, I won't say it.
Well, just watching Raw.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't pay much attention because it's recorded. But
do you pay much attention when it's live? Be honest now.
I was watching Axel Rotten, whatever the hell. What's his name?
Axel Schultz.
Yeah, Axel Schultz. And he's wrestling... He was wrestling somebody. Who the hell was he wrestling?
Oh, Curtis Axel. Who was he wrestling? He was out there with Paul Heyman, I remember that, but who was he wrestling?
Yeah, well, apparently they're going to turn Ryback babyface, and now he's going to feud with which that'll just be an epic feud. Ryback.
Now, if they wanted him babyface, why don't they leave him babyface?
I don't know. And then to build up for his big babyface run, and for his apparent, upcoming feud with Paul Heyman, he loses to R-Truth. R-Truth of all people. Guy that not one person in the world could give a shit about.
So is he going to come out next week and be like, I know he beat me fair and square, but he was the better man that night.
And they talk about...
That's going to be his build. Losing to R-Truth, a guy who's lost, like, I think for the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's how they built. It's so bizarre. The guys just lose, and then they'll beat somebody that they're pushing. Why would it... Why would anybody care about this guy?
You know, Vince just likes seeing them come back after they lost to R-Truth and just like, oh, did you see those crushed spirits?
And they're talking about wanting to do a Goldberg-Ryback match at WrestleMania. Now, if you're going to do that, don't you think you'd want to build Ryback up?
Or mate, to keep him a heel then, because who's going to be the face in that, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Goldberg's never been a good heel. So it's
but,
like,
I mean, you want to build him up so he's like a top guy. Like he goes into a match with Goldberg off a loss to R-Truth.
Yeah, that's true. But he was wearing Goldust's wig.
Yes.
Thank you, WWE.
So.
Yes.
So it was Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler and Axel.
Isn't it bad we can't even remember Dolph Ziggler anymore?
Yeah, that's another guy. That was a guy that people were really getting behind. He had a following. He just became a nobody. He won the title and became a... He was like a jobber as the champion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he won one match as champion. Do you even remember that he was champ now?
Apparently. I know it happened. And I kind of remember when it happened, but man, And then Jack Swagger kicked him in the head, and it was over.
So I'm, you know what? I gave up on Axel.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say this: Axel Dolph Ziggler match was his best match to date. That was good. I'm not saying it was great. I'm not saying it blew the roof off the joint, but it was a good match.
You know, I'm kind of coming around, and I'm kind of thinking this Curtis Axel. I'm kind of rooting for him just because I feel bad for him now.
I've been thinking of some ways to make this guy better.
Mm-hmm.
I think he should lose more hair,
cut his head off, and attach his dad's head.
No, he should get start far away from his dad. He should lose more hair,
cut his head off, put Stone Cold Steve Austin's head on him. He's like, all right, I'm back.
Axe Anderson. He could be the new Anderson.
Ah.
I think he fits in more with the Andersons than with the Hennings.
I don't know about that. I mean, that's kind of like...
Kind of a rough-looking dude. Kind of tough.
Yeah, but...
Tough.
The fans know he's a Henning, though. I mean...
Yeah, well, they thought he was a McGillicuddy before.
The long lineage of McGillicuddies.
Uh-huh.
You had Beulah, and...
What if they find out that Arn was really banging Henning's wife, and he's the real dad? Now he's...
Well, okay, that's a compelling storyline, I'll give you that.
See?
And it would be awesome to see Arn's take on it.
Mm-hmm. And my other idea was, you know, he comes in the ring and he kisses the title.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think he should start... I said similar things before, but... You know, they love that title. He should love that title. The IC champion, he's got it for a long time. A lot of people have loved the title. Shawn Michaels, like, he put it down and cried and, like, bowed to it and kissed it. But I want Axel to start making out with the title. So, like, he starts kissing it, and then he just starts, like, tonguing it and licking it. And then eventually it just builds up to him just, like, pulling his cock out, and he's, like, humping it right in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
No one's ever loved the title that much. Plenty of people have kissed it. But he should just have sex with the title because he loves it so much.
Maybe like his hand could like start creeping down to finger one of the jewels on the bottom, and then like he cuts himself on the side and he's like, ooh, like he got slapped or something.
He's rubbing his fingers. Yeah, circle his fingers around the jewels. Getting all excited. What do you think?
It's definitely good for a behind-the-scenes vignette where they catch
you. I think you should do it right in the ring. Just start banging the title right in the ring.
It's a slow build, though. It's like he's trying to get to first base. Then he's there, and he goes to second. Then, like, when it hits third base, they should catch him in the back, you know.
So WrestleMania is when he should just all-out sodomize the title.
And nobody wants to challenge him for it. They're like, nah, dude, you keep that title. Don't want it. If you love it that much, man, okay.
So, yeah, so that's my idea to help out Axel.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy I want to try to help out is a guy who was recently fired. They fired Chris Hero. Cassius Ohno.
Go down to the McDonald's. Fill yourself out an application. And there you go. Now you have some gainful employment.
So my idea for him, okay... have the tag, they have this, the group, the Wyatts. Now, he's already got the beard and the long hair, okay? Follow me here.
Yeah.
They should start talking about their Mama Wyatt always wanted a little girl. And the little girl, because all the Wyatts were all boys, okay? So the youngest Wyatt, Mama Wyatt, made a girl, started putting lipstick on him. And Chris Hero could be the boy sister of the other Wyatts. He's a man, but he wears lipstick, a woman's clothes, because the Mama White always wanted a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's money.
So he's basically Vito, but like a hillbilly.
No, Vito was a man who dressed like a woman. This is different. This is a man who believes that he was raised to be a woman.
Oh. Hmm.
Mama White always wanted a little girl. That could be the same! And just like hillbillies, they could all bang their sister, so they're all banging them in the back.
Is this what you think about when you're watching wrestling?
Yes, I'm trying to prove it.
But that's your ego, Jackie Jones.
You don't think that's a money gimmick? Mama White always wanted a little girl? Christine Wyatt.
I think Chris probably would make it. He probably would be more suitable for a woman than.
Yeah, call up Triple H. Say, I know I won't go to the gym. I'm sorry, you know, my Lord and Savior. But here's my idea. Please give me another chance.
Well, they fired him. He won't go to the gym.
Yes.
That motherfucker really don't like working out. It's like, I've got this great job here, and I could be on television and be a superstar and make more money.
Uh-huh.
All they want me to do is get at some sort of a build. And he's like, nah, can't do it.
And it's like, I'm sure that they realize, like, this guy's never going to be, like, superstar Billy Graham level.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were like, you know, work out a little bit.
You know, I gotta agree with Triple H 100% on this one. Because I have said since the first day I've ever seen Chris Hero, that guy kind of looks like somebody who would be delivering my pizza. And he pretty much still looks like that. So, I mean, ask Cesaro. Have him give you some tips on, you know, getting some muscle. I mean, Christ's sakes, dude, you need some sort of a build. I mean, he doesn't really look even athletic.
No, no.
I mean, CM Punk, he's a slim dude, you know. He's not huge
CM Punk
or nothing.
Who's not really built, but he has some, like, definition in his chest a little bit.
He has some, yeah, yeah.
And he's got charisma, and he's got other things working for him. Not that Hero has no charisma, but his look does take away from him.
Yeah, I mean, in the ring, he is good. I do enjoy his matches. I'll give him that. But, yeah, he doesn't have a very good build, so. Get to juicing, son.
Yeah, get on the roids.
Yeah, I mean, find, like, some horse steroids. That's what the freaking British Bulldogs did.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a veterinarian and be like, I know you got some horse steroids in the back there.
And back then,
for Christ's sakes, give them to me, and I'll bring your pizza even quicker.
Back then, it was harder to, like, find dirty doctors.
Uh-huh.
But now, doctors, you could find them anywhere. Yeah. I mean, there's, like, dirty doctors on the Cape.
Hmm.
I mean, one was arrested here not long ago.
Hmm.
So you just go and find yourself a dirty doctor and, get yourself some roids.
There you go.
You think veteran? I bet veterinarians are harder to pay off than a real doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably are. They're probably like, no, I'm here to help the animals. And he's like, come on, for Christ's sakes, give me some steroids.
Jim Ross, he said that. He's like, raw,
I say whatever the hell I want now. I'm fired.
Yeah, he's much cooler. He's much cooler now.
How you like me now? I don't kiss ass.
So you're saying that that WWE's loss could be TNA's gain if they were smart. He was all about TNA signing Chris Hero.
Yeah.
What do you think?
He's like, sign Chris Hero. I'm out collecting cans. Say whatever the hell I want.
Now, if Chris Hero walked out on TNA as a new member,
what you said? He got the job, and then he's like, "Fuck this place, man! I'm leaving." It's like, geez, he don't want to work anywhere, does he? All right, he walks out on TNA. Okay.
Now, do you think that would be a big time superstar in the making?
He's tall. Maybe if he gets on the roids, I don't think TNA tests for him like WWE does. Mm. I mean, I read on our board, people were convinced that Mr. Anderson just comes out all hopped up on coke whenever he comes out to do his promos.
Uh-huh.
So, I forget who said that on our Facebook page.
I think he used
that.
To. I think he stopped doing the coke. He needs to get back on the coke.
It does make for good wrestling promos.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen him for a while. What's he doing now?
God. He's pretty annoying. He's coming out, and he's like, he's being the downfall of the Aces and Eights, and it's like, not too good. He comes out, and he's like, I'm back! And then he starts waving his neck around. He's like, as you can see, it's much better now. And I'm like, this fucking guy. For Christ's sakes. I hate this guy. The big thing in TNA, though, right now... Mm. Oh, but you're making a point. What about Chris Hero?
Do you think he could be a big... That's one thing that TNA is much worse at than WWE is finding these big indie guys. They used to be better at that. They used to be... They brought in Joe, and they brought in Punk first. But now WWE signs all, like, the top indie guys.
Yeah, so it's like... And it seems like it's hard for TNA to make anybody. So it's like, unless there's a major change in TNA, I don't think anybody can really get over in that company. I mean,
something buys it.
Yeah, I mean, if he was brought into TNA, I mean, he has had some momentum with the independent scene, and he definitely has great matches.
Yeah, to me, that's a guy, even though I'm not necessarily a big fan, that is the kind of guy they should try to get.
Yeah.
Are guys that are like him, Colt Cabana, I don't know, whoever. And that's a kind, you can also, if you make that guy into a star, he's your star.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like, this is a WWE castaway.
Yeah.
This is a guy who used to be in WCW, 20 years ago. I mean, if you would bring in a Colt Cabana or a... even though they were, in WWE for a little while, no one thinks of them as a WWE guy.
They already have big followings, to a degree,
Yeah.
More so than a lot of the guys you bring in. I mean, for Christ's sake, some of those people they bring in, it's like, you've never heard of them.
And they suck. They like that Jesse Sorensen.
Yeah.
I know he broke his neck and all, but God, he was bad.
Yeah, he wasn't so hot.
Because I watched the, I think it was the TNA pay-per-view, and there was like this, they debuted this new guy. I mean, this is a while back. I know I'm way back. And maybe he's done all kinds of stuff on TV since, I don't know. But he's like,
I'm just going to say before you even mention the name, no, he hasn't.
Carter the Third or something.
Oh, EC3?
Yeah, I really didn't give a shit about him. I like the guy who's fighting this little skinny guy. I like, this guy's awesome. Forget this other dude.
Nor Vernum.
Yeah, that's a guy. That's a guy that caught my attention.
He's fought him twice now. So once on the pay per view, and he came back on Impact one time.
That guy's good. I like him.
Yeah, he's pretty fun. He's actually EC3. He's kind of showing a little potential. I think he's kind of good. I like him. I don't know. I mean, he's stuck in TNA, which is definitely a downfall for anybody. But I don't know. We'll see. But Norv Vernum, apparently President Clinton was telling me that he was some sort of independent guy out in California a little bit. So. He's got kind of a following, and he has some sort of other name. I don't know what his other name is.
Mm-hmm. Brain just really keeping up with the show. Should TNA hire Chris Hero? He's asking here in the chat room.
Well, it is a little bit of a lag, but I don't know. There's another storyline going on in TNA. I'll try to get some of your thoughts on it. They're basically doing the CM Punk angle with AJ Styles. He's in Mexico and all that stuff. Does that interest you at all?
I like... Now, the idea, the premise is good, but not, you can't do it after it's already been done. Then it just comes off as a copy. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, they've even, like, publicly said, we're going to do the CM Punk angle, but we're going to do it right. You can't do that. You can't just go out and say that. Then people are like, oh, well, this is just, you're copying this other angle.
And it was pretty good in WWE. It was one of the best things we've seen in a long time. So.
Yeah, the start of it was. And then like, the after he left and came back, they really fucked it up. But, yeah, I mean, that was a huge angle to start.
I know how to blow this feud off. And put him in a match with me, Triple H.
And AJ's not the guy to do it with. He's not a good talker at all. He's a bad talker.
Yeah. He comes out and he's just vanilla ice cream, it seems like. He doesn't have much of a character at all. And even when he's bitching, you don't really buy it. Like, they had a week where he was bitching about Dixie hiring MMA stars and stuff like that and making a big deal that they're out there, but it just felt kind of forced, honestly.
So who are you supposed to like TNA in this angle? Or is he just like, because he's their champion, he's the major, you know, baby face, and he's telling you that the company you watch suck.
Mm-hmm.
So who are you supposed to dislike? Are you supposed to boo the company?
I'm not sure. And Dixie's basically being Stephanie. Man.
So, yeah, Brains, I did bring this up earlier, but I'll answer Brains' question. He said, if you had to hire some good indie guys for TNA, who would they be? I mean, guys with charisma who can talk. And I brought up Colt Cabana and Chris Hero. And I do honestly think if someone does legit, you know, a new person buys the company, that's really what they should look at. You're going to have some, you know, name guys that people know. But I would look to get Colt Cabana. And that's a guy I would really look. I would offer him some, like, you know, good money. I'm sure he doesn't necessarily want to work for TNA right now, but doesn't look like he's going back to WWE. So offer him some money, not necessarily Hulk Hogan money or something like that, but offer him whatever you pay in AJ Styles or something, and push him. Go for it.
Hmm.
He's a guy that people really do like. People follow, and I think if you got someone like that and you pushed, got behind them, gave them a chance, you might have something.
So what is the scuttlebutt? Is TNA actually for sale? We've heard rumors about Billy Corgan possibly buying it. I think that's kind of been washed on the wayside. Is it for sale? What do you think? Because they're denying it at the top, like the main people are.
Yeah, I, from what I understand, it is. I was listening to the Meltzer, little Davy Boy Meltzer. He said it was
Davy the Observer. What was the wrestler's name?
Meltzer, I think.
Was it Meltzer or something like that? Yeah. And then they just come out and squashed him.
So I was listening. I'm going to say this. I listened to
So if we bought TNA, we would have a character come out and he'd be like a big mosher. And then we would squash him like unbelievably.
Yeah. He would just get sodomized in the ring. It would be the big mosh.
Well,
he'd be playing the role of the big mosher. And it would be a shoot sodomy. No, but is he still alive?
I'm sure he's still kicking. We haven't heard a lot from him, though. I mean, where is that guy?
Someone says here, I don't see a reason why TNA would bring in Colt.
We thrived off of the idiots who would talk shit about us. We don't get too much of that anymore.
No, if we do, I just don't know about it. I don't pay much attention to I used to really pay a lot of attention to people, and when I got a little older, I just stopped.
Yeah. So you need to make yourself, well known.
No, you just leave me alone. I don't need that.
Okay.
So I was listening to Meltzer. And it's his annual thing when he's doing the Hall of Fame.
I got my ballot in the mail the other day. I ripped it up and used it for new toilet paper.
And so there's talk about guys that, every year, I've been hearing this since like the IATA days, like in 2000, how Sting doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Kent Takahashi's on here again? Christ sakes, I never heard of a motherfucker.
What? But yeah, basically any star that's ever wrestled with any Japanese or Mexican guys in, no matter, I mean, they probably are the shits, but if they main evented one show in Japan or Mexico, they're Hall of Fame material. But a guy like Sting,
Razor Ramon, RJ, number one wrestler,
Sting main evented forever, and that's crazy that he would even be considered. And then I was thinking too, I'm just gonna trash this whole Hall of Fame, I don't care. You know, he was talking about I know Dave Meltzer's respected, blah blah blah, but fuck it. My goal is to trash Meltzer now on In Your Head. And so
what has he done to you?
Not a damn thing.
Did you wake up one day and he had his penis in your Cheerios? He's like stirring it around. He's like, that's right, Jack. That's right. Hate the Meltzer.
Back in the IATA days, used to talk about, he told a story a bunch of times where he shoved like a bagel in like a girlfriend's face.
Taw that whore. Did like the round part of it hang off of her nose? Like,
I don't know. So anyway, so he's talking about all this bullshit and how, you know, all these guys don't deserve. And Sergeant Slaughter comes up and he's like, well, I don't think Sergeant Slaughter makes it because he doesn't have the longevity. And I just listen to that. I'm like, what the hell? Sergeant Slaughter was big in the 1970s. He main evented from all throughout the 80s. From every company he worked for. And then in the 1990s, he was the WWF champion. He main evented for three straight decades. But he doesn't have the longevity.
Yeah. Jesse Sorensen's got nothing on him.
But Edge should be in, and Batista, because they have a lot of longevity. Edge. I like Edge, and I can see him being the Hall of Fame, but what, he wrestled 10 years?
About that.
Batista wrestled like 5?
Mm-hmm.
Then he's talking about how Lesnar's a shoo-in. How, I love Brock Lesnar, but how long did Brock Lesnar wrestle for?
And it's not like he's stuck at it all these years.
No, Kurt Angle's already in it. Mm-hmm. He was inducted like 4 years ago.
Man.
But Sergeant Slaughter, and I would bet money, majority of people who don't even watch wrestling on my Facebook page know who Sergeant Slaughter is.
Yeah, everybody knows Sarge.
Yes, that's part of a Hall of Fame. That's why Jesse Ventura is in the Hall of Fame. Not because of his wrestling career, it's because a lot of it is because people know him because he became a governor. That's why Brock Lesnar's in the Hall, he should be a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame, because he went on and became a champion in UFC. Sergeant Slaughter was a G.I. Joe! There's no reason why Sergeant Slaughter should be like a no-brainer for Hall of Fame.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you do make a good point. I mean, his longevity can't be questioned if he was main eventing for that long. Come
yeah,
on
I
now.
Can't even think of a reason why I wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. And then another thing, too, I was listening to it. And he's going on and on about, Dynamite Kid. Dynamite Kid was, I think he was inducted when he did the mass inductions the first year. And I'm thinking, you know, he's saying, well, first of all, Dynamite Kid, I mean, he didn't have much longevity. And he was never a main event guy, maybe in Canada.
Stampede,
yeah. But he was never a main event guy in WWF or Japan. I mean, he had great matches and stuff, so. And then he's talking about how he was revolutionary. And I'm thinking, Yeah, but in a good way, if you think about it. He changed wrestling, became a cripple. The people who started doing the stuff he did got, like, concussions and broken necks and tore their bodies apart. And the one guy who based his whole career off Dynamite Kid killed his family.
Well, I mean, I don't think you can blame Dynamite Kid for that.
Well, he's in the Hall of Fame because he's revolutionary and people copied his style.
Hmm.
Not because he was a big draw.
Yeah.
Does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, Dynamite Kid? I don't know. Not a Hall of Fame to Sergeant Slaughter, isn't it? Sergeant Slaughter should be in the Hall of Fame. God, and then he's just so pompous about this Hall of Fame, taking it so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It's annoying. Anyway, that's it for Dave Meltzer. No, it's not.
We're just trying to get the ballot, though. we're pulling the Mark Madden on him.
I was listening. It was an old podcast with Conan. And I was listening on YouTube. And it was Conan and Court Bauer and Gabe Sapolsky. And they were doing like a booking roundtable. And they were explaining why they used to be stooges for WWE. For Meltzer.
Mm-hmm.
And Conan talked about they were openly, you know, talking about being stooges to Meltzer. And Conan said that he would, because he was tired of the bullshit in WCW, so he would just stooge everything off, all the storylines.
Like, Tequila Sunrise should be the best move ever. Nobody should get up from it.
So whatever. So then the Court Bauer goes on there. I'm going to trash this guy too. And he was like, I was a stooge for Meltzer, basically because he grew up reading The Observer. And now this was a guy who was writing the storylines for, you know, Raw and Velocity. And he's not getting paid. He would just go out of his way to call up Davey Meltzer and tell him all the storylines. I think that's horrible.
Hmm.
Well, why would you do that? What's the motivation there?
Yeah, people who are signing your paychecks, it's like, you might want to try to keep them happy. Yeah,
it's not even about the paycheck. It's, you're a writer for a show, you should have pride in that show, you should want to, you know, keep it secret. Like, if you were writing for The Sopranos back in the day, or, you know, a show on today, Sons of Anarchy or something, why would you just, well, I'm going to go call up, you know, this guy doing a podcast online about TV and tell them all the storylines that's going to happen. I'm not going to ask for money. I'm just going to do it because I'm an asshole.
I mean, I guess in any corporation there can be a person who's just, you know, gets a little bit out of the mix a little bit and just gets pissed off about what's going on and needs to vent to somebody about it. So, I don't know. I mean,
Conan was pissed off, and even though I didn't really agree with his made more sense. This Court Bauer was just doing it just because. Just for the hell of it.
So I like talking to Dave.
I like to be a stooge. I'm just a big mark for the Wrestling Observer.
Well, he's not in WWE anymore.
And then, Gabe Sapolsky came in, they basically inadvertently talked about how they used to like manipulate Meltzer, because they were said like back in the day he could call up Meltzer and tell him there's like a 5-star match on like a Ring of Honor show. Dave Meltzer then would post that. Court Bauer said he would purposely not tell, put over his own storylines because then Meltzer would put them over. So he wasn't even trying to get his own. I don't know what Court was doing. He just wanted to be a dick. And so basically, Conan said like when he's in Mexico, you could call up Dave and tell him all this stuff, all this great stuff, and then he would post about how great it was. So and then Gabe said too that like when you used to do that back in the day, that Ring of Honor, like if you would say if I'd say Meltzer would say there was like a 5-star match on this Ring of Honor VHS tape. He said, like, you could see how much more that VHS would sell.
He said, now it makes no difference what he puts over. If he likes, he doesn't like, it doesn't matter. But back in the day, you could do that. So basically, they were saying how you could just manipulate him to get more sales, not necessarily being honest. Just be like, hey, this show has 5 stars. And Court Bauer said that he would see a lot of false information in the Observer, so he wanted to make sure he got real information. And so, I don't know.
Have you wrote up the email about this podcast being 5 stars yet?
This is a 5-star podcast, Davey Meltzer.
Put us over.
Well, he did. He does put us over when we have interviews.
Mm-hmm. Why we talk so much shit about him then?
Fuck him. I want to burn every bridge.
Hmm. Except the Sergeant Slaughter one. He's definitely
got a lot of
people.
No, Sergeant Slaughter's a man.
Awesome. He's like, I like that Jackie Jones.
I did an interview with Sergeant Slaughter. That was pretty cool.
I don't think I was present for that one. I think
no, it was at Mad Monster Party.
Oh, okay.
And he locked me in the Cobra Clutch. And I have to say, and I was locked in the Cobra Clutch. And then a little bit after that, I was choked out by Kane Hodder, who played, if people don't know, he played Jason Voorhees in part 7, 8, 9, I believe. And he's in the Hatchet films. And I felt nothing with the Cobra Clutch. It was like just like a guy hugging you, Hincher. You know what that feels like. And then... And when Kane Hodder choked me, he really choked you.
Yeah.
So, the one guy was that...
You should have told him that you flew Delta Airways after that, and he would have freaked out.
He doesn't like Delta.
What airline was it where he's like, he demands that you take a shower when you come into his house if you flew with him? Whatever airline. It would have been. You got to tell him that you flew that way.
He was pissed at Annabelle and I. It was at Rock and Shock.
What'd you do?
And he knows me as Nasty Neil, which is it is pretty cool. But anyway, I was talking to him, and we're just like, oh, we went to see the Danzig show last night, and he got like bent out of shape, and he just looked at. He's like, well, the real show's tonight. We're like, oh, what's that? He's like, Twisted. Better than Danzig. He just was like pissed.
Yeah, he's a big ICP
like,
fan.
He's just gonna start punching me or something.
Maybe ICP doesn't like Danzig or something. I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of feud going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just said the wrong thing. I don't know. Danzig, he kind of rubs a lot of people wrong every now and then. So beats me, man.
Yeah, he seems like a tool.
I like Danzig, but that's kind of his appeal. It's like he's out there with petting a wolf on his Killer Wolf video, or he's doing all this stuff. He's kind of a douchebag, but that's Danzig.
Yeah, I don't know if I told you that we went to see Danzig and
people. He talks about recording with old audio equipment, and of course that's something I'm into. So that's definitely douchebaggery.
God, we were a
douchebag. So gotta have those people, old faders, brother.
people who care. I went to see Danzig at Rock and Shock, and since I got his press passes, it was kind of cool. We were up where the pit was, but we were over to the side where the security was. So basically, we were all the way in the front, but just standing in our own little section. Because I'm a pretty big shot inch man. So anyways, we're there, and this kid...
Stop with the ego, Jackie Jones!
And so this guy with no legs wanted to sit up with us. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, you're here. And, I mean, legit, he had no legs, just had stubs. Mm-hmm. And so he sat up on the... there was like a little ledge next to us, which I had no problem with. And then the
Jack, when I see a man with no legs, I don't see a man with no legs. I see a person.
Well, if it was just a guy with legs and he came over and sat up there, I'd be like, get out of here, asshole. But, But, you know, it's a legless dude, so it's like, oh, whatever. And so the security came and started screaming at this guy.
Security wasn't taking no shit off of
him. The panic
like, attack. Hey, motherfucker. It's like if life hasn't beaten you down enough, we're here to beat you down some more.
So then the security woman, well, I mean, the manager came over as a woman, and she wasn't just a she was a cunt. She not only told me he had to, she's like, you got to set up in your own section for the handicap. He's like, I can't see anything way up there. And she, and then so finally he's like, okay, I'll go. So he starts to go, and she said, you know what? Get out! Get out of the building! You can listen to it from out in the street. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this woman? She just went off on this dude with the legs.
Well, that's kind of the downfall of cocaine. It will make you be rude to handicapped people.
Uh-huh.
You're just like, who the fuck is this guy? I'll teach them something.
Poor dude. This one wasn't a Danzig.
Mm-hmm. Well, he can do it out in the street.
That's true.
Did D'Lo Brown come out and said, you're messing with the real deal now. Gonna throw your sorry ass out in the street.
D'Lo was at the fan fest, and he was he was sporting a this new shirt. And it was like it was the same colors of UPS.
So he just got off of work.
But it said D'Lo. It was a D'Lo, but you know where it has UPS logo, was D'Lo.
Uh huh.
And I was like, I like that shirt. And he's like, well, I got one that will even fit you. And I was like, what the fuck's that supposed to be? Even if I was going to buy one, I'd never buy one now for D'Lo Brown. He's a big fat ass, too. What the hell are you talking to?
That's when DDP overheard that. And he was like, I need to sell, come up with some DVDs.
Hey, bro. It was him and the fake Kane, whatever his name is.
Oh,
biscuits and gravy.
Festus and...
Yeah.
And Doc.
Yes, it was Doc and D'Lo. Because they wrestled, I don't know, did I tell you that? They wrestled the Rock and Roll Express during the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, and they showed way more charisma than their whole time at TNA, Doc and D'Lo.
They're hungry now. They got to fight for a living.
Exactly.
I think TNA just sucks the soul out of anybody. They enter the company and they're like, yeah, we're gonna really shake them up here. And they get in there and they're like, yeah.
I do want to tell one more
story. That damn southern accent just starts talking to them. They're like, I'm so glad you joined the company. And it just sucks the soul right out of you.
So there was another story I want to tell from, I don't think I told you this. We were at the Rock and Shock, and Robert Englund was there.
Hmm.
The Freddy Krueger, and
hey, Freddy Krueger. Yeah. I have a name.
He had a line.
Side McLaughlin, Freddy Krueger.
He had a mile long line.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't care if you called him Freddy or Robert or whatever. By the time he got to the 50th sign,
and so I was standing like in the middle of the room. And he's, like, a good, like, 50 feet behind me. And Annabelle positioned the camera so he's, like, over my shoulder. Mm. But it was clearly, like, way away. And I was like, oh, I'm here with my good friend Robert Englund. Right. And his people came up and said, yelled at us. You cannot put Robert Englund on camera without written permission from, like, his agent.
It's just a goof. I mean, we're not serious here. Man.
I love how people come in the chat room. It's 9:23. And like, what time did this start?
Yeah, well, yeah, you know. The guy's on the same time zone as well, so I don't think he has much of an excuse.
Yeah, it's only been the same time now for, like, 7 years.
Tazo, you spring forward, you fall backwards. Mm-hmm. Spring forward, fall backwards.
Tazo, put down the crack.
It would be fall. don't be rocking it like the like that dude in Toronto, the governor up there. You heard about that guy?
No.
He's pretty awesome. They got him on camera smoking crack. And he's just like, he denied it for a little bit, and then they're like, he's like, well, ask me that question again. And they're like, have you smoked crack? And he's like, absolutely. And then he just tells him the whole story. He's like, I was drunk when I did it, though. And they're like, do you
well,
think you should resign?
Right.
And he's like, no.
It's all right if you're smoking crack while you're drunk. And it's like, oh, okay, it's all right. He was drunk.
He's got some balls. He's not resigning or anything.
There's some NBA players, like, just like a crack problem. You think, like, once you get, like, you're making NBA money, like, you'd find, like, a better drug than crack.
Yeah. Unless he's used up all his funds and all he can afford is crack.
Mmm.
It's sad times.
Mm. He's like, Ed Tazo says, I work, jackasses. So Tazo works, so that means he cannot tell time.
Or read websites. Kenta Kobashi's in the room now.
Oh, shit. Dave Meltzer Hall of Famer.
He's here like, for his five-star chat.
It was like they inducted some, like, Aquarius or some guy, some Mexican guy. Never
Ooh,
heard of.
Never heard some, of Aquarius.
I don't know. It was something like that.
I would go as far to say that, you know, most of your readers are in America.
Uh-huh.
We'd like to hear about people in America, I'd say.
There you go. Vince Russo said that people said he was racist.
Hmm.
And then the Japanese guy, they were like, oh, he really shouldn't have been in. He wasn't that good. It's like, well, why the hell's he in?
Because he's a Jap.
Because he's a Jap. Norrin Rad got banned from Facebook because he's talking about Jap matches.
Well,
Jack and Interact as if they are Johnny on the spot. What the hell does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
What I'm saying is, Tazo, the show has been live at 8:05 p.m. Eastern since 2006. You've been around, I think, that whole time, at least since 2007. So let's say between 5 and 7 years you've been here. You should know by now what time the show comes on. You should know the show doesn't start at 9:23.
Yeah. Somebody needs to teach his motherfucker a lesson.
Yes.
We're going to show you, Tazo. You're going to learn what time the show is.
Exactly.
We're going to humble him.
You know what, though?
Everybody in the chat room, humble Tazo.
There you go. A little butt fucking for Tazo. No one says butt fucking anymore.
No, they don't use
it. It's got a nice
much.
Ring to it, though, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more like a pleasant, but yet it's still dirty.
I don't think anything's pleasant about that act.
So
just the way you're squirming at the fan fest.
So, Tazo the Greek.
Uh-huh.
What was I going to say about him?
Beats me.
Yeah, fuck him. Just a fucking loser. No, he's alright. Just needs to tell time.
Not ask obvious questions.
Yes. What time does the show start? It's on now, asshole! Fuck. It starts when I say it starts. That's what. So on Tuesday, have they started this tag team tournament?
The tag team tournament, no, but they got this new tournament where they got guys going for the belt. Because I guess the belt's been vacated. Cause
What is that?
The main title, because AJ's, you know, wrestling with
Ooh,
it. And,
well, I've got something for you, Intro. I'm going to debut it right now. I wrote a song about this very world title tournament. Would you like to hear it?
You son of a bitch. You set me up.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, I could hear it a little bit.
All right, listen to it. It's good times.
You had to go with Lynyrd Skynyrd, didn't you? Could you pick some other Southern Irish?
I know you love it when I pick the Skynyrd. I like the ones with the long intros.
Join me on a journey to the world title tourney. Yeah. Right around the track on Thursday Night Impact. Adrian Styles took the title and left TNA to New Japan, Ring of Honor, maybe the gay community. A new champ will be crowned in a week or maybe 30. There ain't no talent in the world title tourney. So Dixie Carter found 8 deserving men. One will come out with the title again. Listen up, mister. She's hot.
It's amazing you have the gall to make anybody listen to this.
Join me on a journey. It's all about the ego. The world title tourney. Right around the track.
Oh, it's still going.
Thursday Night Impact. Gonna be a shoot pin party. When you step in the ring with Jeff Hardy, now Alex Shelley was the star of the MCMG. But Satan is the one TNA shield. Yeah, yeah. Is that the robe of the Red Rooster I see? Oh no!
This is falling apart.
But I want some movement. He just don't give a fuck. Sorry! Sorry about your damn mug. Yeah! Join me! On a journey to the world title tourney. Yeah, right around the track on Thursday Night Impact. Angle slamming to the mat. Gonna be tap. You're in for some trouble when you're in the ring with a double. The next foe is a Samoa Joe. He's from the UK, and that's all. That's about all I have to say. So come and join me on a journey to the world. The world title tourney.
All right. That's enough.
Right around.
It's almost over.
Merciful God, please take it in.
Man will be on a journey. Cause it's the world title 30. Join me on the journey. To the world title 30. Now this is TNA. Sort my last week. Get my last 30.
Go home.
Well, there ain't no telling. Because it's a world title 30. So join me on this journey. World title 30.
All right. When Kane Hodder started choking you, I don't think he choked you hard enough. I mean,
that was epic stuff.
It was funny at first, but my God, was that a long song?
I can't help Lynyrd Skynyrd. They're friggin'. They might, if they would cut down their songs a little bit.
No, it's good when Lynyrd Skynyrd sings it, but. They didn't write those lyrics. No.
I think I perfected. Sometimes I wonder, like, when they remake a movie.
You know how shitty that is? It's like, I'll try to listen to, like, Simple Man. And then I'll have World Title Tourney in my head instead of Simple Man.
And now it'll improve your experience.
No, it won't. That was the other shits. You're going nowhere with it. Towards the end, you're just like, Samoa Joe.
It told the story. It told why there's a tournament. And then it explained all 8 combatants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and?
And then it explained how important this world title tournament it is. It's an epic tournament, so it needs an epic song. They want me to play Bound for Glory, but you know what? Out of respect to interest.
And that's not fair, because it's not even going on right now. And I'm laying it down right now. If you want me to leave the show, if you play that for me every fucking week, and make me listen to the entire goddamn thing, I'm gone.
Just like TMC, I think that the fact that it is 6 minutes long adds to
No, it doesn't. It makes it annoying as all hell.
Exactly.
Ken Okabashi agrees with me. He doesn't think we should listen to that shit.
He didn't necessarily agree with you. He just said poor intro.
Come on, chat room. You can't just let him say this is good stuff. Do you honestly want to hear that for 6 minutes?
Every
show?
Yes. I've listened to it about 50 times or something.
That might explain your decrease in IQ. Whenever you and Annabelle get together, do you like suck in helium or something like the entire time? Is that what you two are up to? Just killing brain cells?
I've been a key. There's no kid. A lot of people accuse me and her of doing drugs all the time. My mom thinks that we go out and do drugs.
Hmm. What does she think you do?
Pop pill. I don't know. Here in the Facebook chat, Facebook.com/groups I Watch Wrestling, Mike Fink. That was epic. Well, thank you, Mr. Fink, and you know what? Hall of Famer, Rookie of the Year, Mike Fink! Mike Fink just won himself Rookie of the Year, Incher.
Does it work if I don't agree?
Yes.
This is just wrong. No, honestly, you're not playing that every week. That was terrible.
Rookie of the year. Oh, man, that was good.
Whew. 6 minutes?
Uh-huh. But you know what's about it, though? 6 minutes, 10 seconds, but it only seems about like a minute. It just flies through you.
Yes, it felt like just a minute.
Mm-hmm. It's good times.
It's as if I ate 3 Taco Bell tacos and they went right through me within a minute.
Danny Corey saying it's almost time for Jack to sing all the Christmas songs again. There we go. I remember I sang "Dreaming of a white in Your Head." Didn't you just thought it was like, it's like a friggin'. I was one of the Harris twins or something.
I know where you're going, but I guess it could have came off a little racist.
That's what you kept telling me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you could have chose like "Jingle Bells" or something.
Here
in your
Facebook.
Head bells, in your head bells.
I do remember.
In your head all your way.
I do have a Jingle Bells one, I believe. I'll play it for you if you want.
No.
It's only like a minute.
Oh, we got to get the callers, don't we?
All right. Well, Andrew Temple here on Facebook.com/group/IYWatchWrestling. Neil Jones, I didn't think you would be able to top Bound for Glory, but holy shit, that was awesome. Rookie of the Year! Call Rookies of the Year! Mike Fink, Andrew Temple.
Don't get too excited, guys. We'll just throw you out when me and President Clinton's on. We'll just toss you out.
I'm here forever now. I'm never leaving again.
Lies. All what? Lies.
Meow! Meow! Man. I'm all blown up, and I didn't even sing it live. I just got all excited. I was dancing in my chair.
Yeah, because you're all about the ego. Answer me this, Neil Jones, a.k.a. Jackie
you.
Jones. I don't know.
Well, that was an epic tale you just
Period.
Told us.
That's about as good as the real wacko post.
That is very true.
What do you think about the Attitude Era?
He loves the Attitude Era.
Mm-hmm.
Can't blame him, I guess. It's pretty epic.
It was a lot better than this bullshit. We're having to make songs about the tag team tournament journey or whatever. the tournament journey
I
or whatever.
It's so epic a dessert. Maybe, you know, I put that on Twitter.
You know you wouldn't even know what's going on TNA if you didn't read stuff.
I put that on Twitter, and then people started tweeting it to Dixie.
Oh, well, I think that's a good tune. Oh, I'm just going to put that on my iPod, Shug.
They should.
Good stuff.
I think so. So, Incher, do you want to take a break, come back, take some calls?
Sounds good to me, Jackie Jones. Sounds good to me.
All right. I'll try to find some more tunes here if you guys want.
No. We'll be back.
What?
You can call in at 508-644-8503. You can hear all about the ego. Yes. Book it.
Or you can Skype in jacking off. You know what? I'm going to do something that I haven't done in months on the show, and I haven't done almost a year, well, I think about 6 months here at home, and I'm going to go get some alcohol, and I'm going to drink on the show.
Good times.
All right.
What kind of alcohol?
I don't know yet. I'll go see what I got.
Has my
here.
Criticism hurt you that much where you have to drink now?
No, we're taking calls, and I just think the calls will make... I think the alcohol will make the calls easier.
You know, if they do become intolerable, you can just hang up on the person, and if they call back in, you then have to ban them. I know. It's like that scene on A Christmas Story where Santa Claus pushes Ralphie down the slide and that motherfucker sticks his leg out and catches himself. And he crawls all the way back up the slide. That's kind of like every collar on In Your Head. Well, some of them. A lot of them are well-behaved, but there's
I
those
like
few
scholars.
That climb right back up and they're like, wait, but you got to hear about what sort of bedroom suit I have.
I have breaking news.
Yes, sir.
Mike Fink, I burnt my thumb holding my lighter for 6 minutes and 10 seconds.
It's a waste of lighter fluid. Honestly,
I like
for
this
that
guy.
Song.
Mike Fink. God, that guy, and people might not know who he is now, yet, but I predict this man, he's Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer. Rookie of the Year, right to Hall of Fame.
They're going to throw the guy out who makes all the TNA songs, and they're going to put you in charge.
Exactly.
Alrighty.
Hold on a second before we go. This is a very short song. And it's to get everyone in the spirit for the upcoming Christmas season, all right? It's very short. I'm loading it up now. Just give me a few minutes. And we're going to play it, and we'll go to break. All right?
All right, let's hear it.
I think you'll like this one. If you have a soul, you'll like this one.
Anything that you produce, if you have a soul, you'll like it.
Oh, the internet can be prideful, but In Your Head is so insightful. And since it's not time for bed, In Your Head, In Your Head, In Your Head. Jack shows no signs of flopping, and OIB is really hopping. Superman can see through my head. For In Your Head, In Your Head, In Your Head. When they finally call it a night, how I hate logging off of the site. But they'll be back Wednesday night, when Jack's screaming, alright! The wrestlers, they are a-rating. And the cages are still debating. Too sexy for rights and Fred. In Your Head, In Your Head, In Your Head. In Your Head, In Your Head, In Your Head. Yeah.
Well done. Well done, Jackie Jones. That was a fine tune. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
I have a soul.
All right. Good bet.
We'll
go get some booze.
Back.
All right.
Jack will have some booze, and I will be totally sober.
All right, stone cold sober.
I'm just a barrel of fun. All righty, everybody. We'll be right.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla, and the author of A Lion's Tale, Around the World in Spandex, the greatest book ever written, better than War and Peace, better than Lord of the Rings, better than Harry Potter and the Circle of the Golden Magicians, and you're listening to InYourHeadOnline.com right here on the World Wide Web, Junior.
All right, we're back here once again here at IYHWrestling.com, and we're going to take calls here. It's 508-644-5503, or you can Skype in Jackin' Off.
Taking calls from the Headyverse. It's always a good time.
Yeah. So I cracked open a Krabby Spiced Orange Alcoholic Ginger Beer.
It's called Krabby Spice Orange?
Yes. The brand name is Krabby's, and this is a Spiced Orange Alcoholic Ginger Beer.
I was like, Krabby's? I didn't understand that. They like made it out of a crab, but that's the brand name.
It's very good. And I also got... Let me crack this open. Some Dewar's Highlander Honey. Normally don't like Dewar's, but Highlander Honey sounded good. Try this out. This is Scotch.
Yeah.
Still not so swinging, but the honey is better than normal Dewar's. What is this going on in the background? You call the show and you shut your face until you're called upon, boy.
The alcohol goes directly to his brain. He just starts yelling. Such a tame drunk.
So we on the line, it's man. We've got oh, dream of the hell, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh dream of the jam, oh dream of the jam.
Jimmy Jam, are you jamming tonight?
Yes.
Out of jam!
Testify! That's right. I'm bringing back some old school Devon.
So what's going on in the life of the Jimmy Jam?
Things are going good.
Alright, so what's going on in the world of professional wrestling that is tickling your fancy?
The new theme of Team of 4D.
40?
Team of 40.
Ah!
No, I'm not sure what you're talking about, Jimmy Jam. Who are you talking about?
The King is now their director of operations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had their show from Monday Night Raw. They're in the UK. Kane was trying to take control of the show. Vicky Guerrero was. And Matt Maddox, whatever the hell that guy's name is. Mm. He was trying to take control of the show, and they're bickering back and forth between each other. And then they're trying to, you know, form a team. Mm. And I believe the name was Team Authority. Is that it?
Isn't that just copying WWE's team? Aren't they just called the Authority?
Are they called the Authority? I guess.
Yeah, that's what the faction is. The Triple H Stephanie faction is the Authority. With Mr. Kane. What do you think about Mr. Kane?
That's who we were talking about. Kane. He was in the group.
Oh,
I guess.
Confused. What do you think about Mr. Kane?
I think it's
a new
respect my authority. Do you think that's what they should say when the Authority comes out?
Hmm. Yes.
Be good times. No, I mean, I don't know what they should really say. I guess they just, I don't know, just keep on being, you know, smug pricks like they've been.
Smoke what?
Smug pricks.
Oh, I think you said they should smoke dicks.
Well, it does kind of sound like that, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Smoking the pole. That means sucking on the cock.
That would be an entirely different show now, wouldn't it? It's like, holy you know you come out here, Daniel Bryan, and you act like you're the face of WWE, but I just want to tell you something. Take down your pants.
There comes the bone. But thinking if he could get away with it, I mean, do you really think he wouldn't just make the guys like smoke his pole right in the ring?
Well, you have to find out if he's into that. You know, the rumors aren't about him. There, a lot of the rumors.
No, well, I think in this, just like with the Iron Sheik, it wouldn't be about gay sex. It would be about the power of making another man, you know, blow you. It's not necessarily like they're getting off on. They're not getting off on the sexual intercourse there, or man on man. They're getting off on the power over another man.
I think I finally figured out what your deal is. If you look to the Iron Sheik for advice.
It's true.
There's something wrong with you, my man.
It's true. That's a power play intro. It's about the power.
I'm waiting for you to take to the airwaves, and you're like, anytime I met you, you smoked my crack. You took my marijuana. Just screaming it at the top of your voice.
That's why it's humbling. It's not that the Iron Sheik hated the fags. He hated the gays. This is old world thinking, isn't it? Just like old world justice. And like prisoners, not all of them are gay. It's just that they got to show their power over other men.
I heard OJ's hanging out with like a gay group in prison.
Really?
That's what I heard.
Maybe he's showing his power over them.
Maybe.
Smoke the pole, bitches.
Mm-hmm. This is something I heard, so who knows. But
have you ever been in prison, Jimmy Jam?
No.
Have you ever been to court?
Yes.
Really? Now, when you were in court, were you a witness, or were you like were you a defendant?
Witness.
Were you being sued? All right. Witness to what?
Can't remember. It was a long time ago.
Uh-oh.
Long time ago,
like
Jack.
Going down that bad road again.
Mm-hmm. It's like that time you were talking about, I saw this dude beating his girlfriend outside, and I had to be a witness.
I remember that.
And you went down, you testified.
No, I went down to testify, but the woman never showed up. She skipped down, went back to Mississippi. So, yeah. I wasted a couple days down at the courthouse.
And you're gonna do the right thing, and she decided to run.
I was. If people don't know this, it was my senior year in high school, and I thought it was actually sounded like cats fighting out in the front yard. Well, on the back deck, and opened the door, and my neighbor, who we were in school together, it was girlfriend and boyfriend, and they had a kid, and he was beating her on there, and she was screaming for help. I left her in the house, and she called the police, and the police came, and then a little bit later I went to court about it. I also found her hair in my driveway the next day. He ripped her hair right out of her head by the roots. And the police didn't find that. Not very good policemanship there. And plus this kid was a big star of the basketball team, and it was in our him and Ben, I won't say his last name, they used to try to get me to not testify because they said she made it all up, but I knew it was true as I was there. But yeah, so the jocks tried to talk me out of testifying. It's a true story.
The Jackie Jones, he cannot be swayed.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's right, jocks. Take that.
Yeah, fuck you, jocks.
Fuck the jocks. All right. Jimmy Jam, is there anything
else?
And
I was told, though, by her lawyer that she said that I probably saved her life by letting her in the house.
Good, good. That's a very noble thing you did there, Jack.
Yeah.
So I had people go on the internet and they're bitching about Jackie Jones, saying he's a son of a bitch and no good piece of shit. What else do they call you?
The God.
But it's just not true, especially that one.
It's a
he's a pretty good dude.
Yeah, I carried around holy water with me when I was dressed as a priest for Halloween. A little vial with the water, not that I blessed myself.
No, it wasn't holy water then.
Yes, it was.
No.
Blessed by me.
It's not holy water unless it's blessed by a priest.
I'm a priest. I'm ordained minister.
You're a minister, you're not a priest.
Well, same thing.
No, it's not.
It was suggested that I fill it with my semen.
That would have had to have been like one of those small, like a clone things.
And that
like
I was
a sampler.
Now, what would you do if I was walking around and like I was blessing you and like I threw my semen on you out of a little vial?
I'd probably kill you. And I'd get away with it because I would plead insanity.
They're like, what did they do to you? He threw his semen on me. Like, you're all right, kid.
Don't worry, you're walking scot-free.
We got pulled over, too, on Halloween night.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second time we got pulled over in the last few weeks. And I don't know if you saw the pictures, but she had a white contact lenses in.
Yeah.
And the officer was like, are those your real eyes? Very weird, isn't it?
These aren't dilating.
And so yeah, it was, and he started flashing light over me, and then he asked for my ID, which is very weird. That was in the passenger seat.
Hmm.
So he took her ID, her license, registration, my ID, and went and tricked us out.
He was just trying to look and see if he had anything on you, and he pulled it up. he turned out to be God, and he was like, all
right. What if God's one of us?
And then that song starts playing. Do, do, do,
do, do, do, do. What if God was one of us?
Oh, God.
Jimmy Jam.
I think that's worse than the song you sang earlier.
What if God was one of us? What if he was a stranger on the bus just trying to get home? That's what I'm saying. All right, 908 area code, who are you?
Hey, it's Mike Fink.
Mike Fink, rookie of the year. Rookie of the year right here. This is the man.
Thank you. I'm very honored. I was offered a ticket for the Live Aid concert years ago in Philadelphia, and I passed on it. But now I have closure after hearing that performance today. That was truly epic.
You know, part of making great music, Incher, and all the listeners out there, when you make great art, part of that is just your personal fulfillment, knowing that you've created something, you know, unique and masterful. But when you actually hear it from the people who enjoy that and find out that it's touched their lives personally, that is very special to me, Inchman. And Mike Fink here letting me know that, you know, through my music it's made his life better.
Much better.
Touched him on a spiritual level. I mean, that's some epic stuff.
Mike, do you honestly want to hear that song for the next, like, month or so?
I've already downloaded it on my iPod. I'm bringing it with me everywhere I go.
This is a very touching moment here. And I might cry. I might cry.
Hey, I did want to say I am 100% with you on the Sergeant Slaughter thing, Hall of Fame.
Yes, see?
Same.
We're going to start the In Your Head Hall of Fame, and we're going to induct Sergeant Slaughter and Ole Anderson and Sting the first year and say, suck it, Meltzer!
Boy, yeah, when Slaughter first came into the WWF as a heel, and I mean, he had so much heat, and then he had the Cobra Clutch Challenge, and Pat Patterson was an announcer and challenged him for it, and they had their final match at Madison Square Garden. It was an alley fight thing. Patterson beat the living daylights out of it, and it was the perfect closure to a feud. I mean, that's how all these things should end. Like you were saying, that Daniel Bryan not getting his closure. That's the kind of thing you write and end. It ends the right way. And then when they had Slaughter flip over against the Iron Sheik, I mean, he was one of the most compelling characters for more than a decade, and
he had the big tag team run in the Mid Atlantic with Don Kernodle. Yeah. I mean, this guy had huge runs everywhere. Everywhere he was the main event. Guy drew a lot of money, so it's really it's just insane that he wouldn't be. And then the reason why, I couldn't even really think of a reason why, because he was a good he was a great worker.
Yeah, he was.
You know, you brought up the Pat Patterson stuff. Those matches, he talks about, you know, Dynamite Kid and a lot of people, but those matches were revolutionary. When you watch those on the old, like the Boston Garden house shows or, you know, Madison Square Garden, all the matches in that era of WWF are basically real slow. They're basically trading like bear hugs and arm bars. And then there'll be one move, there'll be a body slam, something real simple, and it'll be a pin. When those guys wrestled, it was really the precursor for like the modern era of wrestling. It was nonstop. It was very fast paced. There was a lot of bumps. They were moving around the ring, using the whole ring, and that stuff was revolutionary. And it was some of the best matches of the time, and it still holds up, which a lot of matches from that era do not.
Absolutely, you know, the storytelling was so great. You know, I mean, a little bit before that, the whole Bruno and Zbyszko thing. I mean, when Bruno got Zbyszko at the Garden and everything, and I think they had one match where, I don't know, wait about 5 minutes, and Bruno just beat the daylights out of him, and he got disqualified for it. The crowd was just insane, and they knew how to really build it all up. And boy, this whole thing with Daniel Bryan, I really like him as a worker. I don't think he's the greatest character, but boy, they did him wrong.
Yeah, I for the people around today, he has connected with the audience, and they've really got behind him. I don't know if I agree the character's not necessarily there, but he is over, and he can cut promos. He does have charisma. And the main thing is, to me, it doesn't matter for why someone likes him. If the fans are behind someone, that's really all that matters. Mm. And everyone who's ever made it, you could pick apart and say, you know, Hulk Hogan really wasn't that great. He's bald. We shouldn't push him. Dusty Rhodes is a fat guy with a spot on his belly. We shouldn't push him. He won't get over. Everybody. Eddie Guerrero, small. Everyone who's ever – Shawn Michaels is too small. Pretty much you can just go and say something about everyone, besides maybe like The Rock, who's like this perfect thing. But you can do that if you really want to, but why? Wrestling is fake. That's the beauty of it.
Breast reduction.
You can do what you – yeah, it's the idea of man boobies. You can do what you want with it. It doesn't matter if someone has, you know, there's something about him that isn't necessarily good. It's fake. If people like him and they get behind him, then run with that. Could he have been the next Austin or something? I don't personally think so, but he could have been something, and you'll never know because he wasn't given the right chance. If they
he could have run, you know, at least for a few months as champion.
Yeah, or maybe, who knows, maybe it would have caught on and he could have been the next big guy. Maybe Ryback could have, when Ryback was really over last year, when he's a babyface. I'm not saying it's foregone conclusion they could have, but when someone gets hot like that, run with it and see. When Austin was really getting hot, if they would have said, well, let's have him lose and let's wait a year before we push him, they might have lost all the momentum with him and he would have never became, you know, what he became.
Mm-hmm.
You have to try, especially now when you don't have anybody. You don't have the guys you do have are on the way out. You know, Cena's starting to break down now. You were seeing it. He's got so many injuries. He comes back very fast from the injuries. And when he his matches, when you watch him now since he came back, you can tell the difference. I mean, he works a lot differently. He's really trying to protect himself in the ring. He's not taking like a lot of the same bumps. Because he's breaking down, he's not going to be around forever. And who's going to replace him? Why wait till you have to find the next guy when you're forced to, when you can build up these guys and find the new guy? It's very bizarre.
And
Big Show's not the answer. I don't dislike Big Show, but the guy's been around for like 20 years, and he's as over as he's not going to all of a sudden become this giant, you know, drawing power or whatever. I mean, he's been around forever, and he is what he is, and you can use him as a main event guy now and then. But to push him over like a new guy that could possibly be the next big guy is really dumb. And as a fan, it's not very exciting either.
No, not at all. I mean, you know, and like I was saying, you know, all the massive beatdowns and the, you know, the multiple guys against one of you, it wears thin very quickly.
Yeah, people who choose to defend this, they'll say, well, look at Austin McMahon. Well, for one thing, Austin McMahon was 20 years ago. So you're copying an angle that's, you know, almost going on two decades ago. Plus, they're missing what made that work. What made that work was you hated McMahon, you loved Austin. Austin always, at the end of the day, got one up on McMahon. There'd be a week here and there where McMahon would you know, get up on him. But at the end of the day, almost ever at the end of every Raw, definitely at the end of every pay-per-view, at the end of every little story arc, Austin would be the one who would make McMahon look like the fool. It wasn't, if it would have been just weeks and weeks and weeks of just destroying Austin, he never gets one up on him, it wouldn't have been over to the level it was over. And that's what they're
doing
this one.
McMahon, you hated McMahon too, but he was a compelling character and you wanted to watch him.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch Triple H, man. I can't stand him and I want him to go away.
That is exactly actually what my mom, who's watched wrestling for as long as I have, longer than I have, not to the degree I have, but she's watched it. When she sees Stephanie and McMahon, and she just hates to watch them. She actually even brought that because I brought up Austin to her and stuff, and she said she liked McMahon. Like you're saying, McMahon was a character you wanted to see. These guys are heels you just
I personally just don't want to see it. It's not fun. It's just, it's terrible. I don't know. This has become like a real big thing in wrestling. Ever since they've tried to recreate the Austin McMahon thing with the power characters and the general managers and all these things, but they always miss the part that people want to live vicariously through their heroes when they watch wrestling, and they want to see their heroes get one up on their boss because they can't do that in the real world at work. No one wants to watch a show where the bosses are always winning. That's what people have in reality, and why you don't want to watch that on escapism television. That's it. They do that in TNA. It's like when Dixie did that big thing where she had that big speech and talked down to all the wrestlers.
Yeah,
who wants to see that? It's not fun. There's nothing good about that. There's nothing good about this. Just Triple H, Stephanie, and I think it's a mistake. A lot of people love the angle when Michaels and Daniel Bryan fought. I personally didn't think it was smart because at this point in time, the fans are never going to boo Shawn Michaels. He's to the level. Guys get to a certain level when they've been around so long where fans just, they're legends to them. They don't want to boo, you know, Ric Flair at a certain point in time. They don't want to boo. They're not going to
boo. Like you said about Hogan and The Rock.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to boo him. So
they go at WrestleMania, there'll be just as many people cheering Michaels.
Yeah. So you got this guy that the fans are legit behind, Daniel Bryan. And unlike John Cena, who half the crowd boos, they're really cheering this guy. And then you have him beating up a guy that the fans legit love. And there's going to be some people who will still cheer Daniel Bryan, but I think they're still going to... I think you're splitting up the audience, and you're going to get people to start booing him. So I don't think that was smart. No one wants to boo Shawn Michaels.
Well, I think it would lead up to such a great match that it really wouldn't matter in the end. People would still like Daniel Bryan, but they wouldn't, you know.
I think that part of the audience is going to boo him.
Well, wasn't that the good part about Rock versus Hogan?
Rock was a different level than Daniel Bryan.
Well, Daniel Bryan hasn't been allowed to prove himself, so maybe that could be a defining moment.
You're at a point now with Daniel Bryan where he needs help. He needs help from the booking. He needs to be put in the spot where he is the guy. Rock was the guy for years before he did that match with Hogan. Him getting booed in one match with Hogan wasn't going to destroy his career, but Daniel Bryan isn't at that level yet, so you start putting him in guys. He starts to get booed by, I think that's really going to hurt him.
Putting him on a platform where he can really show what he can do, and then having him win that match, I think that's definitely helping him.
One thing. Great matches are one thing, but you want people to be behind the guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if he wins, that's in his favor.
Yeah, he hasn't won anything.
Well, that's true. I mean, so if Shawn Michaels is just super kicking, it's over. Then that definitely would be bad. But I think if he came out there and they had a great match and everything, steals the show, and then he wins, then that would be good. But knowing WWE like they've done in the past, he probably would lose. So
that's a ways off at WrestleMania. I mean, they're gonna drag this feud out to win.
Well, they're cooling it down already, and they'll probably pick it back up. So, they could probably do it. What is it, like April? So, that's a few months away, so. I bet they'll pick it back up. I'd like to see the match. That's what I'm in favor for. I'd like to see Shawn Michaels back and have a great match in WrestleMania. Kind of like, you know, him and Taker. That was great stuff, so. Okay. Gave you something to look forward to.
There's people on our Facebook page who think Shawn Michaels sucks.
Yeah, they're wrong. Yeah. I mean, that's all there is to that.
I just read that, and I'm like, why would you even watch wrestling if you think that guy's bad? Very bizarre.
I couldn't stand him, but he was just a great worker.
I'm with you, Mike. I was never a quote-unquote fan of Shawn Michaels, but there's no denying his matches are amazing. I liked him better.
Yeah,
just come back.
I think
when he came back after taking some time off and everything, I mean, it was amazing. I thought he was done. I thought he was coming back just to basically cash in.
Even in his promos, though,
better work.
Even in his promos, I think there's nobody who can like deliver a good, you know, promo like that nowadays.
I've never been a big fan of his promos, to be honest.
I think he does pretty well. I think it gets me compelled in what's going on, and you know, it's good stuff. They even brought him back for the Triple H match with Undertaker just to boost that what they're doing, you know.
Yeah, I didn't think that was needed.
No, I thought it added to it. I liked it.
Well, Mike Fink, want to thank you for calling, and you are a good man. Hope to hear.
Thank you much. Thanks for having me, guys. And
was this your first
call? I enjoyed the show very much. It is my first call. I hardly ever tune in live because I listen on the podcast. I got a long commute into work, so I look forward to that every week. But
yeah.
I'm home tonight, and I said, you know what, I wanted to check in.
You picked the perfect night to do it.
I really did. Mm. It's like the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, man.
Yes. Epic night.
All right.
Now you feel honored to be part of this? Thank you, Mike.
I kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit after you said that.
Later, guys.
And then you swallowed it right down.
The Beatles on Ed Sullivan? That song? Come on now. Our fans need their heads checked.
I do see the comparison.
You're just going to have all these teenage girls screaming outside of your window. Just Jackamania.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Jackamania.
Jujubee's out there. Shaking the ta-ta. Have you seen her picture? She bought a hashtag band shirt.
Mm-hmm. I've seen
it. Put it over the big boobies.
Mm-hmm. Always makes for a fine, fine picture. Yes, indeedy.
Oh, Yolanda's got to get one. She's got big boobies, too.
You know, Jack.
What?
I like fine wrestling, but there's probably one thing I like better.
What's that?
Big boobies.
Oh, yeah?
Better than the power bomb.
Like Big V? Big Daddy V?
If that's what you're into, dude, that's fine. Yeah.
Let's see here. Speaking of big floppy titties, we got the Mighty Mighty Licks online.
I don't have big titties, but I have a big floppy titties.
In your mouth.
No.
Oh.
Sucking that.
What's going on, Mighty Lexar? And the big penis?
Yeah, the big cock. Well, this Saturday, day that WrestleMania tickets go on sale.
There you go, Entry. Get in line. You're getting in line, boy. Get your WrestleMania tickets. Are you kidding?
I'm going, you know, if El Santo would put me up for the week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know. That's the only dude that I know that lives in that area, but...
Yeah, some of that daughter.
Man, you're creepy. That just came out of nowhere. But, yeah, it should be a good show. You're going to head down to it, Lexar?
Oh, yeah, I'm heading down to New Orleans. I'm getting my tickets, and I'm here to provide the Eddieverse some tips if they're going to go to WrestleMania, because I have the experience. I've been to two WrestleManias out of my home state along New Jersey and New York. Mm-hmm. I've been to Atlanta for 27. I've been to Miami for 28. And probably I might head to 30 in New Orleans this year. For next year, for WrestleMania 30. So I'll give the Headyverse, and maybe even you, some tips.
What do you mean, even me? I'm not part of the Headyverse.
Do you want to go to WrestleMania 30?
Hold on, back up. You said I'll give the Headyverse and maybe even you. What is that supposed to mean?
Jack and Cher.
Mike, we're the hosts.
We're not as good as the Headyverse.
I think he was just saying we're the hosts. I don't think he's saying, like, you know, I mean, we're in it. We're the creators. Okay. We're the gods of all these people.
All
right. I think that's what he was saying.
Infinite gods.
First tip of going to WrestleMania 30 is to save all your money. Save all your money because it don't come cheap.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, it's a good advice, saving your money, kids. You got to pick up the book. JBL put it out. It's Have More Money Now. Mm. And you got to set it beside your toilet and tell yourself, I'm going to read that one of these days.
Now, do you think in it tells you to, like, stick, like, broomsticks up, like, people's asses?
You butter up a broomstick and you stick it in somebody's ass and then you steal their wallet when they're not looking. Have more money now. Lexar, if there was a zombie outbreak at WrestleMania 35, what would you do? What would you do?
WrestleMania 30 or 35?
35. It's in the future. That's when the zombie apocalypse will happen.
In the future, Conan?
In the future.
All Andy? The way in the year 2000. In the year 2000.
In the year 2000. Thank you, La Bamba.
I think I might use a shotgun that they use in the House of the Dead 2 video game.
Okay. Yeah.
I like that not when the zombies, when the zombie outbreak comes, that they're going to be Romero zombies where you can blow up their brains and that's how they die.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing he wrote that.
Yeah.
Else we'd be screwed. We'd be like, how the hell we kill these zombies?
They just keep coming, the little bastards. Trying to kill the Triple H zombie, now, but he just keeps coming.
Now, do you insure in the WV? Do you guys, like, do you guys prepare for zombie outbreak?
I saw a fucking vehicle the other day, and it's like, and it said on the back, it was like, zombie Coast Guard or something like that. And I was like, what the fuck, a duel? Why you gotta drive around with a car like that? I don't know. I guess I like. Yeah, the Walking Dead and stuff, but just everybody loving zombies nowadays, it's kind of annoying.
Oh, yeah. Very.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Lexar?
Yeah.
Have you ever committed rape?
No, I don't rape anybody.
All right, good man.
Good man.
We do not condone rape on the show.
Back to my tip. The tip is to always plan ahead. That's the second tip. Alongside with the money is to always plan ahead, even if things change. I want to get seats for WrestleMania 30 at the lower bottom level seats, but unfortunately, for financial reasons, I have to get it all the way up top. I have to get the
nosebleed section, but you're going to be there. You are going to be there. That could be the beginning of the zombie apocalypse at WrestleMania. It's like he has a nosebleed and drops and like it turns them all into zombies.
Undertaker starts coming out.
Or maybe the Undertaker puts a curse on the crowd and turns them all into zombies.
So who's Undertaker going to wrestle at WrestleMania?
Who's Undertaker? I heard rumors that it might be Brock Lesnar. I don't know if that's true or not. Is it true? Who
I knows? Don't know. That's the rumor. But if you could pick one person, who would you pick?
Sting.
Sting.
Yes.
It's a man called Sting. He does this. He does that. Or the bear's a bull and as quick as a cat. I can see it.
It'll get people excited. People, first time he's in WWE. Of course he's going to lose.
Holy shit, it's a stinger.
Mm-hmm. Stinger's going to come in and do the big old job.
Mm-hmm.
My third tip is to always to research the New Orleans or wherever the trip is going to be at WrestleMania because you don't want to,
There's voodoo in those in New Orleans. Are you ready you ready to throw down some voodoo?
You could walk into some voodoo parlor and the head doctor in there puts some sort of curse on you and you come out shitting blood.
Now, let's... Now, do you think they should bring back Papa Shango for WrestleMania in New Orleans?
They should. They should bring Papa Shango, the Boogeyman,
Apocalypse. That would be a good faction, Boogeyman and Papa Shango. And could you get the Zodiac in there?
Yes! No! Yes! No! Yes.
And the Yetis. The Yeti.
Now we're talking. This, the new Dungeon of Doom.
Oh, yeah.
The Dungeon of Voodoo. The Vault of Voodoo.
Oh, that's a good name. That's what it needs to be.
The Vault
that could happen, WWE.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you could have a voodoo doll of any WWE superstar, who would you want?
A voodoo doll of any superstar in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably have an AJ voodoo doll.
Ooh, yeah. So what would you do with the naughty things?
Would you rape her?
I'd probably... I'd probably just say, "Hello, voodoo doll. I'm John. How are you? Would you like to go eat?" Just, you know, only appropriate things.
Mm-hmm.
Romance them, you know. Mm-hmm. Then the voodoo doll would just up and walk away, and then I'd cry myself to sleep.
Sad Poor times. Little baby.
Sad times.
Mm-hmm.
Lexar, hope you enjoy yourself at the WrestleMania. Did you get your tickets?
Well, they're going on sale this Saturday, so I'll be getting a few tickets or two.
What do you do? Do you just sit at the computer and wait for that password to come out and then just get on it?
I just call and order it by phone, so that's probably a little quicker. Speaking of WrestleMania, have you heard about this new DVD that's coming out in February called Shawn Michaels, Mr. WrestleMania, which they're going to show the entire matches of WrestleMania that Shawn Michaels had appeared in. Every match of that at WrestleMania is going to be on the DVD.
You know, I got to side with Jack here. I'm not really a fan of just somebody's matches over and over and over and over. I like to see a show. Give me a show, because he got everything for everybody.
Exactly. Three-ring circus style.
Mm-hmm.
You got the jobbers, you got the high flyers, you got the dancing monkeys, you got the human cannonball, you got the strong man, you got the bearded woman. Now that's a show.
I guess it's
if
nice.
You got bearded woman, bearded woman, bearded woman, bearded woman, bearded woman, yeah. Bearded woman. Then it's like, oh my God, I've had enough of bearded woman.
I guess it's nice to have a collection of matches, so like if somebody mentions something, you can go and watch that match, but just sitting down and watching the whole thing, it is kind of boring.
Yeah. I remember when I the first one of those I got, I think it was the Ric Flair one, and I started watching it, and I really just got bored because it's like, these epic long matches, the same guy over and over, and I do not enjoy them. Even they're not epic matches. I don't like, a lot of people like them, that's cool, but for me, I don't like to watch just the same guy over and over. I don't even like it when they do the best of, like the best of Saturday Night's Main Event.
Like
I like to watch a whole show. I like to watch the opening matches.
It's like you're married to Ric Flair or something. You're getting the same strange every night. Ooh.
I still, ooh. At some point, I still, you know, Ric Flair is still my role model.
You sometimes, strut like Ric Flair.
What?
You sometimes strut like Ric Flair because the Ric Flair strut.
Yeah, I believe that. I don't think Ric Flair invented the strut, but yes. Of course. You gotta put my own spin on it, though. Roll in! The Nature Boy! Yeah.
All right. I'm going to ask you guys the question that everybody is thinking of.
That's
who is Los Manadores going to go against at WrestleMania?
Holy fuck.
Now, what are they going to do with the Bull? Are they going to feud with the Bull? The Bull gets mad or something?
They're going to take it by the horns.
I think they do. I think they should go up against the real Americans and Zeb Colton.
Yeah, because we have not seen that. Oh, a six man. There you go.
Yeah. Ooh, and Zeb Colton.
He brought out that bullwhip 1 week, and then it was never mentioned again.
I didn't even bring out the bullwhip anymore.
He's gonna whip the bull, then it just was forgotten. Maybe they thought it was too hardcore. Can't be true on these kids.
Like, whoa, thinking. Wait a minute, guys. We're not supposed whipping to be bullying here.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever whipped a midget? Do you think he's a midget, or do you think he's a real bull man?
Midget.
Well, I think he is a real bull man, so...
Mm-hmm. You think
it could be Hornswoggle underneath that mask.
What?
It could be Hornswoggle. It could be Hornswoggle underneath that mask.
That. And then what about Hornswoggle versus the Bull WrestleMania? Sure.
Hornswoggle versus the Bull could be good times.
Mm.
Hell yeah. Everybody wants to see that.
Mm. Now, what team could you put Hornswoggle with?
Hmm.
So you have a midget.
You ain't got no more Irish people. Where's Sheamus?
Maybe it could be bring back Sheamus and maybe he could team with who could he team with? Finley?
Sure, what the hell? But that would just be his old partner,
Rory McAllister.
Yeah, give that guy a job. I felt bad for that guy.
He's Ed Gonzalez's boss at the Best Buy.
Really?
Yeah.
Man. The TNA fucked that dude over big time.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even give the poor bastard a job. They're like, look, this guy's a WWE wrestler and he's at our show.
I don't know if I told this on the show interview, but Ed Gonzalez actually trained with Dean the Cooler Visk and Brian Danovich.
Oh, yeah.
Former head guest here.
Huh. Well, what do you say that was like?
I kind of want to talk about him, sure, but I don't know. Well, I'll ask him some.
You brought it up.
He said that Brian Danovich is exactly like he is on the show.
So there you go.
And Dean Visk was at his current Halloween party.
Cool.
All right, Mighty Lexar, you've been yapping enough.
Are you trying to hang up on me?
I'm just plain old sick of you, Lexar.
Take care, my man. Get those WrestleMania tickets.
Oh yeah, I'm getting in line right now. So I'll talk to you.
You're getting in line right now.
Well, I gotta get those tickets early.
Early. Save your monies.
Do you get them online? Or you go down to the ticket.
He
counter?
Says he calls on the phone.
So you're starting to call in, you've got them on hold right now for days?
No. I'm probably going to call probably sometime Saturday morning if they're going on sale to the public on Saturday morning.
All
right. Call them from there. And I'm getting my tickets to WrestleMania.
All right. Well, have a good time, Lexar. Thank you for calling in. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Take her easy.
All right. Let's see who else we got here. We've got Traheen on the line.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Doing good.
Bad.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you gotta excuse me tonight again, man. I'm getting a little bit drunk like Jack, so.
Fucking alcoholic over here.
There you go.
So Traheen broke the news, Incher. He broke the news. It was he was at a House of Hardcore or Tommy Dreamer's group, and Bully. It was a big epic match. It was Dreamer and Terry Funk, and they were kicking ass and taking names. And he can explain it all, but basically, then Bully Ray came out, and it sets up TNA One Night Only Old School, where it's gonna be Bully Ray versus Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah, actually, I wasn't at the show. I was supposed to go, but I didn't end up going, so I kind of just knew what happened. But I don't know, man. I'm kind of excited for it. That's pretty much the only thing that got me going right now.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to do any future
Lexar, can you hang up the phone? You're messing up my Skype.
Yeah, man, stop picking up on that guy, man. That guy is the worst.
It is totally frozen in my account. I cannot do anything. Please hang up, Mighty Lexar.
Somebody hang up.
Stop calling. But yeah, I don't know. I hope they do future stuff. Like, you know, they could have AJ Styles defend the title over there now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If they got some kind of tie with them. You know, I'd like to see something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got me excited. There's not much that gets me excited on current wrestling, but this one does, and sure. And people are like, oh, we've seen the ECW guys, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I like them. There's a reason people are always into this. People like
these
guys. They have this intangible factor that people are, you know, they're into. You're emotionally attached to these guys.
Mm-hmm. Back when
I gotta give it to TNA. You know, they're trying to go different routes. I mean, it's something different. I didn't expect TNA to do something like this, but I mean, of course they did invasion angles before, but I don't think. I'm not a big TNA fan, so I could be wrong, but I don't think they ever showed up at anybody's show and kind of.
No,
you know.
I don't think. I think they're like only like I think Ring of Honor and Combat Zone or something, but I don't think any televised like wrestling has done this. I guess ECW did on WWF back in the day, but
same with XPW.
Yeah, I think it's worth doing. I think it's fun.
Yeah,
gets me excited.
Yeah, I mean, TNA is, you know, on its deathbed right now. They might as well try anything. You know?
Yeah, and people keep talking. They're saying how much of a failure the last time they used the ECW guys, but it wasn't. Even though I didn't care for it, but. The ratings went up, and it was like their biggest like pay per view like in years, I think, at the time. It really bumped the pay per view, and they were using guys that they paid a lot less money to, so it was actually quite a success. Which was confusing to me. Why would you even start that angle if you had no intention of going with it if it succeeded? But they decided not to. It is weird that. All the big, quote unquote big names. Well, they are big names. When they brought in Hogan and Bischoff and all these guys, they paid big money to. Like less and less people bought their pay per views.
Yeah, it's strange.
I mean, there's something about ECW people. You know, people are emotionally attached to it. It's different than
That's what I think people really miss when they talk about ECW and they want to recreate like ECW stuff. They really focus on. You know, hardcore and bleeding, but really what made that promotion was you were emotionally attached to all the characters and the promotion itself. You actually really wanted the company itself to do well. And I don't think any company since, I mean, you know, back in the day, like, you know, the Crockett's, but I don't think any company is startup company since then has recaptured that to any level.
No, definitely not. I mean, when I went to the last Extreme Rising show, and I remember quite a couple of people. I mean, they had ECW tattoos. You know, I don't recall ever seeing anybody with a WWF or WWE tattoo.
Your,
you know?
Your TNA interest.
Right, exactly. TNA. I mean, who's going to tattoo TNA on them? You know?
How much would is there any wrestling tattoo you get?
I'm not really a big fan of tattoos. So. Nah, can't think of any like thing I would put on my body. So, no wrestling tattoos.
But Legacy.
Oh yeah, of course Legacy. Yeah.
Oh man, I don't know, man. I don't know. I kind of tune in the show late. I was doing some stuff. I tuned in when Jack was spazzing out on Tasso, so you guys might have talked about it, so I apologize in advance.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing with the Shield and the Wyatt, I mean, you know, I seen on I forget what website it was, but somebody reported that apparently CM Punk and Daniel Bryan are going against the Wyatts instead of having a six-man. I don't understand why they do stuff like this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's well, I think they're holding off on the Shield versus Wyatts till WrestleMania.
Yeah, but they could have a six-man. I mean, they don't have to have a three-on-three. Just to tease it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There was some. I did hear on the Observer there was. They thought maybe for Survivor Series they would do the Shield and the Wyatts versus Daniel Bryan, Punk, and like four other guys.
That's kind of how.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That would make sense. You know, against the Usos, Goldust, and Cody Rhodes, CM Punk, and Daniel Bryan. It would make sense. You know, but.
Maybe
WWE,
they could have
man,
like a falling out in that match, the Wyatts and
right.
the Shield.
Yeah, set it up.
Yeah.
Set it up for a couple months in advance. Do the big match at WrestleMania. It makes sense. But fucking WWE, man, they got a theme for every pay-per-view, but Survivor Series that had a theme since 87, they can't seem to, you know, keep up with the theme for that. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, how do you have Hell in a Cell? Nobody gives, like, honestly, does anybody look forward to Hell in a Cell anymore? Nobody. There's no violence in there. It's just a fucking big cage around a match that you could see on Raw. You know, it's not special, you know? And like the CM Punk and Ryback match, like that was the worst Hell in a Cell I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, I mean, last year was just as equally as bad. I don't understand what they're doing.
Yeah, when you have Hell in a Cell as a pay-per-view, it doesn't work. It's got to be organic. It's got to be, you build up a feud and culminates in a Hell in a Cell. If it's a big time feud, you can't just say, "Well, it's this time of the year, we're throwing two guys in a Hell, well, four guys really, because they always have two Hell in a Cell matches on this Hell in a Cell thing." It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, they confuse me, man. I don't know. I mean, only reason honestly I watch wrestling is out of habit. Like, I don't enjoy it anymore. It's just like I've been watching it for so fucking long. I'm just like, fuck it,
Yeah, I watch it pretty much out of habit. Like, honestly, right. I think if I came around now and started watching wrestling, I don't think I would keep up with it. I'd be
like, oh, this
sucks. I didn't watch. I mean, and it's too bad. There are good guys. There are a lot of talented guys. The Shield guys are great. Daniel Bryan's really good. CM Punk. There's a lot of, like, good, talented guys, but the show itself is just bad. The writing is bad. It's like just the basic storytelling and everything. There's really no point to the show, like, people don't even try to win titles, and the wins and losses don't matter. It's like, why are they even wrestling for? What is the point?
Curtis Axel's fucking the belt.
That would be good.
And, you know, like, I don't understand the, like, you know, everybody cheers fucking Daniel Bryan. Everybody cheers Ziggler. You have Ziggler lose to fucking Curtis Axel. Like, you've been pushing this guy for 6 months. It's not happening, man. Just give up. It's not happening.
Yeah, and then
it doesn't make sense to me.
And they drive him out to everybody else. So it's
right.
It's almost It's almost like they just want everyone. Just these interchangeable guys. Even like, I don't like Big E Langston, but they were really pushing this guy, and like pushing him like hard. And then he not only loses to Del Rio, but he taps out. I was like, that's just terrible booking. Like, if you want to push this guy as a big monster, he shouldn't be tapping on television.
Yeah, same with Sandow. Sandow was losing every match until he lost the Money in the Bank, and now they're going to give him a push. Like, what the fuck, man? It doesn't make sense. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, they instead of pushing people at their peak, they push them after they fall.
Right. Makes no sense. You know,
I don't think, has that ever worked? I mean, you look at all the big time things. It was any kind of storytelling is people rise until they get to the top, and I mean, that's just basic stuff. It's not even wrestling stuff. It's just basic stuff.
Man, I mean, pushing Cena down our throat, man. I mean, I know, when his biceps. He watched SmackDown a couple weeks ago. I told him last week you weren't on the show, so I'm just going to say it again. But he went on to cut a promo, and he said, I think Del Rio, he said he's full of BS, which stands for Britney Spears' initials, and which stands for bad stuff. Like, come on, man. Like, I understand you're aiming for the kids, like, but, you know, most of these kids, their parents are watching this shit, too. Don't make them feel like fucking idiots.
Yeah, well, I mean, what kid would think that's cool?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, when... They actually did studies anyway, and the whole kid thing is kind of a myth. It's less kids watch now than actually watched in the Attitude Era.
That's exactly what I was saying, because I remember back in the day, man, I mean, half the crowd was kids. Mm-hmm. You know,
WWF has always had like a lot of kids in the audience. WCW is more like adult, they had like more adult fans, but WWF, you know, back in the 80s and the 90s, not so much before that, but like the 80s and 90s and on, it was always a lot of kids in the audience.
Well,
kids are going to like whoever the top star is.
Yeah.
I mean, they loved Austin because he won and he was cool. And is it cool that the kids wore an Austin 316 shirt? I don't know, but they liked him.
Well,
they like Cena. They like him more than they like Cena.
That is a good thing about wrestling, though. It's something like your kids can enjoy and like adults can enjoy as well. So it's like a program that you can watch with everybody until they do something.
Yeah, I mean, I understand.
Such
I understand why they have a PG rating. I mean,
I
you know, I understand why they have a PG rating.
You can't be PG without being a child show.
Exactly. You can still have a good show being a PG show. You know, all the people all the people that watch the Attitude Era, they're you know in their mid-20s or you know 30s or whatever mid-30s. Everybody probably has kids. Not myself, but I'm speaking for most people. They have kids. They want to watch it with their kids. I understand why it's PG. But I mean, you can't make a show making us feel stupid for watching it. You know, I mean, I watch Raw and SmackDown, and I question myself every week while I watch this. You know.
Well, a lot of the stuff that they don't do on, I mean, like they bleep ass. You can't say ass. You can say ass on like any show nowadays. You can say
right.
I'm sure you could say BS on any show. I mean, that's just being ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean,
I even say
television
say
overall.
BS. People know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, television overall is more edgy nowadays, so I don't understand why they don't push the envelope a little bit, just a tad bit. Yeah,
it's on basic cable. It's not like it's on, network television.
All right. And I don't know if you guys. I personally, I can't tell you the last time I went on WWE.com, but I heard they had a poll about who's going to be the next WWE champion, and apparently. Bray Wyatt, he was number one voted, and second, which surprised me, was Cesaro. You know, I didn't think people were behind him that much, but apparently so. So
yeah, I really
that's good. I'm happy with that.
They need to take him out of the tag team. I think Swagger's really nothing happening, and I think he really needs to be babyface. I think the big swing is really over, and if he would win matches with that or use that as a setup for finisher or whatever, but people dig that. And they like the guy. I think, a lot of times everybody's like, well, this guy's better heel, this guy's better heel. But people are behind this guy, make him a babyface.
I think
worker.
Having him in the tag team has kind of got him out of that light where he's like micromanaged every point. And I think it's gave him, a chance to show his true colors, you know, and
but
do some of the stuff that
out of it.
Do what?
Now it's time to break him out.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
good use of a tag team. A lot of times they'll just put guys in a tag team to break them up and have them feud against each other. But this one actually worked. This guy has gotten over in the team, and now it's time to break them up. Usually they break up teams way before this.
Hmm.
That was an extra reason. It's very weird.
Yeah. Jack Swagger sucks, and this guy doesn't.
It's Sandow was like the star of him and Cody, and he was way more over. And when they and now he's like nothing. Hey, Cody's like. Cody's pretty well.
Did you see the Raw where he cashed in though?
Jeff? It was a good match. But
yeah,
he just lost.
I mean, it does suck that he just lost. It didn't help him, but it was an exciting moment. But
it was it was a very good match. Yeah. I think he has it. I think that guy's good.
And it did boost the ratings, so it's like I do think that there is like the briefcase does mean something.
Yeah, I think it's fun, but.
They might as well make Money in the Bank, one of the big four pay-per-views, because Survivor Series, apparently, they just don't care about it all.
Yeah, it's just, it was one of the originals, but it doesn't really have, like...
Yeah, I mean, if you have Big Show and Randy Orton headlining the one of the big four, I mean, come on, man. Is there one person that's looking forward to this match? Like,
sure.
I don't know why.
What match am I looking forward to?
Big Show Orton.
Hell yeah. Can't wait. I can't wait for these two guys to be wrestling. The one really boring wrestler versus the big slow guy.
Yeah. I mean, I hope it changes somehow, man. I mean, I heard Big Show got injured, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to wish an injury on the guy, but I hope they switch it around somehow. I mean, it's not interesting, man. There's not one match on that card that makes me want to watch it.
Did you read that thing on about them wanting to push like bigger guys nowadays? Is that like a backlash from the Daniel Bryan stuff?
Yeah, they say the people there claim that that's why it didn't do well, because he's too small.
Or maybe it was just the booking. Shitty booking with
the
guy.
Seems like the fans are always into him when he comes out.
Yeah.
So maybe it is the booking, like Shaheen's saying.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to admit it, but anybody that knows, anybody that's been watching wrestling since, before 2000 can tell you it's bad booking, I mean?
Mm-hmm. They push you, they want to push for the most part. And if they don't want to push you, they'll kill you. Well, not kill you, but,
they will
ruin your appeal with the audience.
They will take you in the back and put a bullet in your head.
It's like Daniel Bryan. You think you're getting over with this crowd? We're going to fucking kill you.
All right. Shaheen, you're a good man. Thank you for calling in.
And I'll rape
you. All right, man. Have a good one. Take it easy.
Oh, fuck your ass. While you're dead.
All right, now we've got... Right. I don't know. You might not want to talk now. We've got Chef Carl on the line.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Not too bad, not too shabby.
Well, I got to tell you, I know I've neglected the call for quite some time now, because Lord knows the restaurant business is a bit busy, so it's a good thing.
That's good.
But I got to tell you, man... First of all, missed you guys. Missed being able to go, of course, to the Legends Fan Fest a few months back, and I know you guys looked like you had a real good time. And
oh yeah.
Even though certain people didn't go with you either, so.
Bastard.
Hang on. Yeah, I know, right?
I had major surgery, and I got a lot of medical bills coming in, so. I'm sorry. Sorry.
No, I feel you.
The big money chef making all the money.
Oh, yeah, I'm such a big money guy, I couldn't even make it because I had to sit there and move. So.
You weren't there either.
Yeah, I know. I'm in the same boat, brother. Anyway, big money chef. Jesus, you apparently haven't seen my paycheck. I tell you, though.
You haven't seen mine. You ever break out the torch on stuff? Do you ever, use the blowtorch on your food? I see that now.
We use Relay Torch.
I've never ate anything like that. You ever, Jack?
I've had creme brulee.
Oh. Yeah, I was about to say, creme brulee is probably the most common thing that most people have done.
Mm-hmm.
I've used it for, cheese before, like a little block of, feta cheese or something to, kind of belay the top. Anyway.
Cool.
Let's talk a little wrestling,
In the WWE, they just take out, like an actual torch.
Mm-hmm. That's how we grill up them Northerners. Have ourselves some grilled Jack.
Are there any cannibals in your area?
Well,
in my area?
In interest, the WWE.
Oh, probably. Lord knows. He probably has people up in his neck of the woods who prefer to defile sheep. But, just saying.
Sheep, you say.
and if he wants to argue that point, I will remind him I used to live in West Virginia, and I recall a certain article in the Charleston Gazette or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
where they caught a guy around the Christmas holidays at one of those live nativities deflowering a sheep.
So we got one sheep fucker, and now we're all sheep fuckers. Jeez. We ought to just go lynch that guy. Then we can be known as lynchers. Yeah.
Exactly. I got to ask real quick, because, I'll be honest, I'm a little behind on a lot of things right now in the wrestling business. But just wonder if either one of you guys had seen the Mid-South Wrestling release that WWE did.
I have not, but I've heard nothing but good things about that, and that's one I would like to definitely pick up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna pick it up the other day, and I couldn't find the Blu-ray. Because I know the Blu-ray apparently has got a couple extra matches on it, and I figure if I'm going to drop the money, I might as well get,
as many
matches as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, it was kind of crazy down here in on the Alabama Gulf Coast, they're just, you know, you can find a couple DVDs, but the Lord help you if you're trying to find the Blu-ray. So I didn't know if you guys were having a similar issue elsewhere. But
no, but I've heard people say that it could have been better, but I haven't heard anyone say that it's bad. I heard a lot of people say it's quite good.
I know a couple of folks that said they may have changed the format a little bit than how they've done some of the other territory type productions, and it'll be kind of interesting if whenever I finally get up off my keister and finally find a copy of it. But I tell you, it's good that I think that, you know, that they're focusing on some things other than some of their current product, because a little bit of the current product I've gotten to watch here lately has just sucked. They couldn't book anybody for anything, it seems like. You got someone like Daniel Bryan, who got over without being pushed, it almost seemed like. I mean, he just kind of got over, and the people loved him. And they absolutely have screwed the pooch on booking this guy. I mean, it's just pathetic. And, you know, I don't know. I look sometimes and I sit there and go, you know, this ain't the wrestling I grew up on. This is death hell. This ain't even the wrestling that my kids grew up on. You know, it's strange times, I guess. You know, from what little bit I do get to see, it just doesn't seem to, I don't know, didn't seem to be a whole lot of logic there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, folks who remain nameless can quote about, oh, well, we're up this quarter and that quarter, and the ratings are this and profits are that. But at the end of the day, the product just sucks.
Yeah, it's not good. It's you know, if I didn't do the show and if I didn't watch wrestling, my wife, I mean, I barely watch it now. I watch Raw, and sometimes it's hard to sit through all that. I never watch SmackDown. I've never watched Main Event or the Sunday Night Slam. Or
yeah,
I barely watch TNA. I think both shows are just lousy. I hate to come on the show and just say I think everything sucks, but I do always like to say there are a lot of really talented guys. It's just the show itself is not good.
I tell you, it does seem to though that a lot of the, at least my reading on Facebook and the web and all this, seems to be a lot of good indie stuff going on lately. I know a couple of the guys from the Charlotte area seem to be really high on a couple of promotions they've got in their neck of the woods. But I tell you, it must be nice, because down here on the Alabama coast, it's a wasteland. We got one little local yokel type independent, and it's, let's just put it like this. The three of us gentlemen, we could get out there and put on a better show than what the local yokels are putting on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty sad.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah, there's no local wrestling around here anymore. I don't know when the last time I seen a show around here.
Is there any local stuff up there still yet?
Yeah,
back in the day.
Yeah, there's a good bit. A lot of it I don't really go out and watch, but yeah, it's around. I know there's a guy on Facebook telling me that I should know some independent people from around
here. Yeah, he's pissed.
Yeah, he was giving me, he's pissed.
Yeah,
I didn't know nobody, but I'm sorry, I don't.
Mm-hmm. I suggested you go on Craigslist and put up an ad for guys to wrestle.
Mm-hmm. I know who would answer it. It's certain somebody from Sandwich, Massachusetts.
He'd go all the way to West Virginia?
Mm-hmm, because he loves this fine West Virginian love.
He would.
Make you feel like a pig. You got a personal
adventure. I'll say
that.
Sounds
that
like
a bleed
sheep.
Like a sheep.
He does baa.
I know exactly. Well, that's more of a goat thing, man. It's not really quite a. It's not really sheep, man. I don't know. make him baa. Good grief.
Well, I could always cruise down to where Chef Carl is here. He can feel the baa. How about it?
Okay, first of all. Forget I'm highly trained with Nias, and I carve your ass up.
You'll get out the blowtorch, man.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I don't know about the blowtorch. Huh? I'm not into blowing things.
Blow this torch.
Yeah, not happening, baby.
All right.
Not even on your birthday.
It's coming up. Ah, Chef Carl, you're a good man. It's good talking to you.
Later, gentlemen.
Soon.
Take her easy.
All right, it's me. Can we go to break here? Because my Skype is totally froze, and I cannot take calls or hang up on people.
No. All righty. We'll go to break, and should come back here in a little bit. All right.
Yes.
What up, y'all? This is Violent J from Insane Clown Posse, and right now you're listening to In Your Head Radio. Know something about it.
All right, we're back once again here. In Your Head.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. People are loving the tunage playing. Now, if you don't listen live, you really should come, and if you can. If you're just sitting around bringing scratch in your nutsack or something. I mean, honestly, if you're listening to the show, what else are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You're not doing anything on a Wednesday night between 8 and midnight. You go over to iWatchWrestling.com. You click listen live. There's all these. You can listen with Winamp or iTunes or Real Player or Windows Media Player. All the normal bullshit. You listen in. You hear us talking. Your ears get all moist because it builds up to some eargasms. But that's not all. You join the chat room. You can play along at home. It's like the home game in your head. Talk with those good people, and there's people in the chat room too. It's not just me and Incher. There's the body of the beautiful people. There's Boxman. There's Clinical. There's the Dirty Sanchez, or one of the many names he uses. Arcaniac. I don't know. He's been a million names since 2006, but he'll never go away. Rattlehead. Hoosier Highway. I am Chef Carl. Jimmy Jam. Jobs. Lord Jaguar. Matt. Sandman. Shaheen. Ultimate Beef. And there's Norn Rad was in there. There's all kinds of people in there, Incher.
Oh, yeah.
So you can play along there. You can go to their Facebook page. You can post stuff. We'll talk about it. You know what that equals. You take all those elements, Incher.
Yes, sir.
You shove them in a blender. You mix it all up. You mix up the Incher. You mix up Jackie Jones. You mix up the callers. You mix up the chat room. You mix up eargasms. You got yourself a good time.
That you do, my friends. And I love aggravating the podcast marks with my great tunes that I play during the break. They love it. They all
I call them fans.
Podcast marks. It's what you'll always be known to me.
I call them friends.
You're getting me back for the legless dude earlier, aren't you?
I say we're all one big happy family. I don't consider myself bigger.
Mm-hmm. Podcast marks. Fan. I'm your boss. I'm the man who tells you what to do.
Lord Jaguar. Mention the man again.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Alrighty, Jackie Jones. We are here. We are doing our show. We are receiving calls. The phone is flying off the hook. People can't stop calling in, but we'll take the first caller on the line because he is a good, good man. He is on the road to of recovery. I don't know. Is it to recovery?
What happened to him anyway?
He had a car wreck.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. And that is none other than Jobs.
Jibbity Jobs.
Hey, guys. What's up?
My wiener.
That's awesome.
He's excited to see you, Jobs.
I'm flattered.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when the nurse comes along, she's going to clean you up, and she reveals, you know, pulls up the sheets, and it reveals a huge hard-on.
I will say that when I had my wreck, I had to have a nurse put a catheter in, and that's the worst pain ever.
My brother told me that. Recently, he had to get a catheter for something. They're testing something. He's an old man. He's like in his mid-40s now, and he said that was not fun.
Yeah, they shove a rod into your dick, and then they inflate a balloon in there.
Man. Yowch.
Andrew pays good money for that.
There are some people that are into that. I know.
I remember on Facebook I was informed of the act of docking. It was not something I needed to see. That doesn't happen too much anymore in the Facebook, where it just be these random, horrible, like, gay sex photos will just be posted on people's pages.
Yeah, docking is when one penis accepts the other penis.
Mm-hmm. But we need abundance of those now that the whack goes back. That makes him flip his shit like nothing else.
As well.
I'm circumcised, Intra, so I cannot be docked.
I don't even want to know what this is.
Oh, my God. This is a very personal in your head.
It is fun drinking while doing the show. I forgot how good a time it is.
Jack, I wanted to talk about your new song.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this, that when I have an idea of something that will entertain me and only me, mm-hmm. it never gets past that phase as an idea.
I have the opposite. I have the opposite motto in life.
You go above and beyond. You wrote a 6-minute song.
Uh-huh. And I performed it in some epic times.
I commend you for that.
I recorded it twice. The first time I recorded it,
you actually did that twice.
Wait. That was the better take.
No, actually, the first one was better, but the audio was too rough. And I was mixing it while recording. Usually I record my audio separate, then mix it with the music. But this one, I played the music and just sang. That's like a live rendition. I just all at once.
It was really good. It was one take.
Mm-hmm. One take, Jones. Good job. Mm-hmm. Epic. I gotta put out a CD intro.
Please do, and then tell me your sales.
Through the roof. This has gone from, it's not even like,
you know,
platinum. It's just through the roof.
I was gonna make a really bad joke there, but I decided not to.
You know, whenever major recording artists can't even sell like a CD nowadays, you know that the Jackie Jones CD is just gonna fly off
those,
the shelves.
They're a bunch of putzes.
They can't do it like you.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't taking Lynyrd Skynyrd songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then just looping the intro over and over again.
This one's the full tune. Intro. They put out these remakes, and sometimes somebody will like, you know what? I just watched this Nightmare on Elm Street. You know what? I didn't know it used to be an old movie back in the '80s. I'm gonna go rewatch that. I'm gonna go watch. That is what I do. People listen to my music, and they're like. And then, like, an older fan, in their late 50s, they'll be like, you know what? That music in the background, that was Lynyrd Skynyrd. And they'll like, you know what? I've never heard of that band, but they inspired Jackie Jones. I'm going to go and check them out. And they'll be like, you know, this isn't as good as, you know, things evolve and things change, and Jackie Jones' rendition is better. But you know what? This Lynyrd Skynyrd ain't half bad.
I really think you need to stop drinking during the show.
I think that is exactly what happened.
Thank you. But anyhow, Jack,
mm-hmm.
we are back. I can't wait to pick up your CD. On the CD, do you have a song about picking up a skull in the woods?
I have picked up some new ones. That was a good time.
I was concerned about you, to be honest.
Why were you in the woods?
Because we were just walking around the woods. We started on the... We watched Lords of Salem, and when she was watching that, she was like, that's an actual pier in the, you know, because they filmed part of the movie in Salem.
So you went out in the woods and sacrificed something?
So we went to the pier, and we filmed some video on the pier, and then we went to the beach, and we actually made a, which isn't up on Facebook yet, but we made a giant upside-down cross on the beach that we left on a big rock.
That's God smiting you down right now. You realize that, don't you?
And then we went to the woods, and when we were in the woods, there was we were looking around, and we found a bunch of stuff, and I found a skull, and Annabelle likes skulls and teeth, and so I gave her a skull. It was a nice time.
Did it pain your heart to give up that skull?
No, I found it for her. I was like, here you go.
I tell you what, man, she's got to be really easy to buy gifts for during the holiday season.
Just grab a skull.
She'd much rather
have a skull than something you buy.
Okay.
It's pretty awesome.
I think so. Skulls. Nice.
I'd be scared of getting like a disease or something from just picking up some random skull.
Oh, man. You got to be a real man about that.
Exactly. I'm the guy from West Virginia, and I'm like,
you know what you do?
I'm not just picking up some skull.
Fucking pour some fucking whiskey on that skull, and that'll purify it.
Mm.
That'll get all that disease off of it.
Exactly. It's a skull.
What do you think it was?
She actually found out it was a sheep.
Really?
Yeah, we didn't know what it was, but someone on Facebook suggested it was a sheep, and then looked it up, and that's what it was. So
you see, I bet somebody dragged that poor sheep out into the woods and fucked it. See, you got sheep fuckers up there too.
No, I bet
somebody
might
have sacrificed the lamb.
I think I really think that's what probably happened. They probably sat, because Salem's where the witches, so people go there and think they're all cool and dark and stuff. And so
that fucking skull is haunted.
Maybe.
Man, PETA needs to get crazy up there.
That is creepy.
This makes it better, I think.
Don't like that one bit.
Hmm.
When that fucking skull comes to life, they're going to regret that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
going to
send you a picture. Intra, do you have your cell phone?
No, it's on my bed right now.
Man.
I can go grab it.
All right, I'm going to text you a picture of the upside-down cross we made on the beach.
I don't know if I need to see that.
Why?
Upside-down cross? won't I go to hell for that?
No, your phone's just going to catch on fire when you open the picture.
You can just turn your phone upside down and then it'll be cross.
But then it flips it the other way, don't it? It's like, oh, what is this?
Hang on, let me just grab it.
I got to find it first. I got a lot of pictures in here.
This is a wrestling podcast.
There's the skull photo. There's also, we found a baby. Not a real baby. But, yeah.
Is a toddler in the woods hanging chained to a tree.
All right. Here, I'm sending it to you.
Because you need to see this. I know you can't imagine an upside-down cross.
See, we made that on the beach on a big stone.
Okay, hang on.
The beach is... It's a Dead Horse Beach, too, is the name of it.
It's downloading.
That's a horrible name for a beach.
Where are you going for
vacation, Dead Horse Beach?
Dead Horse Beach. Man, you couldn't fiddled around and said it's a religious symbol for the Undertaker or something. You know how he had his cross going on?
Draw the Undertaker symbol on.
No, I see it here. It's like a
an upside down cross.
It's two boards.
No, it's stone. It's big like stone stuff that was like just laying on the beach.
That is a mighty rock, though, hanging out behind it.
Yeah.
Dead Horse Beach.
Then I picked that rock up.
You did?
My bare hands. Yes, that boulder.
Same fucking hands that picked up that skull.
Yes.
Man. That's some manly work you did there, Jack.
I basically just didn't watch.
Watch.
You're just like, man. You could be out looking for the whales, too, or something, but no well.
On Dead Horse Beach.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible.
I like the stories about him, talking about, the area around him. He's like, oh, I can go out and look at the whales, but who wants to do that? He just seems so uninterested in anything that's around him. I'm like, that sounds kind of cool.
get you a whale.
There's
skull.
A picture I am next to the cross entrance, so you can see how big it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just sent it to you.
I guess it would have to be pretty big because that was a big rock.
Mm. Fascinating stuff here.
People are listening to us.
Nobody.
Each other.
You guys,
and you can't you guys, even see it.
You guys are having a personal conversation on the air.
Well, we are almost midnight here. So.
Nobody else can see this picture.
Well.
What do you
I don't know. I would say post them on your Facebook, but I don't want to condone posting pictures of upside down crosses.
Oh, you'll get reported.
I know. Yeah. So
Wacky Bob will have a.
Where the hell did he come back from?
And he's a Satanist! Exclamation mark as well. Period.
I mean, of all people, what possessed him to come back and start some shit?
Uh-huh.
And I love Jobs. He was like, I want to be on In Your Head. I'm like, well, you can call in any time, dude. And he goes, book it. Like he's a guest or something. It's like, I don't call him up and say, like, I want to come on your show, Bob. And he's like, well, you can call in any time. And I'm like, book it. You need the boss on your show.
Get in touch with my agent.
Yeah, my people will get with your people. We'll work this out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I went to his Facebook page and like his cover photo was like a kid laying on his back.
he posted this video and it's like it's him talking about the dolphins for some reason, but so I'm watching it and then like he's like my friend Jason and it's like this kid. And he's like, he's sitting in his bedroom with an unmade bed behind him, doing a video. And then he just has this kid in the bedroom with him.
Is he like my captive? I mean my friend Jason.
And then another kid just walks in, and he's like, "This is Damien," and he's like 10. And I was like, "What in the hell is going on? Who would? I mean, they're not his kids, so why is he hanging out with them? And who would let their kids with like?
Were any of the kids wearing a collar?
All right, Jack, you can go out into the woods and collect all the skulls you want, but. I think Bob is going to always beat you on the creepiness factor. Because that is creepy.
I'll see what's creepy about going out in the woods.
No, I mean, just like, I don't know.
Defacing stones with upside down crosses. Totally normal behavior.
Seems like a good time to me. I don't know.
I'm watching the
but he just watches. He's just like, man.
No, I found the skull.
Hmm.
I kind of supervised on the cross making.
Hmm. Okay.
You're the idea person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I actually have a wrestling topic.
All right. So, in the world of professional wrestling,
I
saw Sergeant Slaughter actually in Salem too. By the way, I went to Salem.
Did you find him in the woods as well?
we were in Salem for Halloween, and there was Sergeant Slaughter walking around. It wasn't the real one, but he looked cool.
He did have a mighty Sergeant Slaughter outfit. He looked the part pretty well. He sent me.
It was the same Sergeant Slaughter that was at the. We went to a 12-hour movie marathon the week before that. And they had a costume contest before the marathon, and Sergeant Slaughter was there, and it was the same guy with the same costume. I wonder awesome. if he ever changed.
I bet that dude thinks Sergeant Slaughter should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, anybody with a mind should. Anyway, what were you talking about, James?
They've changed the wellness policy.
Ooh.
You can now get a wellness violation removed from your record. If you compete a rehab stint, I bet that Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton high-fived when they heard that news.
Well, isn't, like, Rey Mysterio, like, they had him on commentary last time I saw that dude.
Yeah, he was on. He did the Spanish commentary for the, what was the last pay-per-view?
Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, he did the Spanish commentary for the pre-show.
Oh.
But during the broadcast of the pre-show, the Spanish commentary was bleeding through, over the normal commentary, so you got to hear Rey Mysterio in Spanish.
Yeah, I don't know, Rey Mysterio. It just seems like his days are numbered. It's just like I don't know.
Old fat man.
Yeah, they keep busting him out on the wellness policy.
They're also fining for alcohol now.
Oh God.
Yeah, if you test positive for alcohol, it's a $2,500 fine.
What?
Like, if you come in and you blow, like, on like,
blow
the...
blow Randy Orton?
That might get you off, but...
Might get him off.
Exactly.
Everybody can get off in more ways than one.
Everybody's getting off. But anyway...
Everybody must get off.
But anyways, what the hell was I saying? Oh, on a BAC, like a breathalyzer thing? Are they doing that?
I guess, like, if you show up to work under the influence, which I guess makes sense.
Which, the only way they could really test for that is, like, a BAC, I would say. Or, you know, just look at somebody and say, well, that fucker's drunk. But they would have to have something that would prove it, I would say.
Yeah, I think you just drinking. You have to be like drunk and impaired.
Well, I mean, it's a if you blow over the limit, it's saying for a positive test, there's a $2,500 fine.
Man, that place must suck to work.
They're bringing this all down because of my age.
Because it must suck to work because you can't drink on the job.
Michael Hayes is like, God damn it, I can't get these broads all drunk.
It's wrestling. You're supposed to drink. You're supposed to be coke and drugs. Yeah, what the hell are they thinking?
In a recent interview, Scott Hall said that every night at Nitro, Hogan had a two garbage cans full of beer in his dressing room, like just iced down full of beer.
That's what they always say. Like Andre the Giant would drink. And I mean, it's cool that they hear those stories, but they're obviously exaggerated.
Yeah, didn't Hogan say Andre weighed like 900 pounds?
They say like he would drink like garbage cans full of booze. Like, come on.
I'm pretty sure the health department would have a problem with that. If we filled up a freaking garbage can with booze.
Like he would tell them to empty the pool at the hotel and fill it. He would sit there and drink it.
They would give him a big straw.
Thank you, boss.
Whatever happened to that Andre movie? Did anybody?
I tried to get them on the show so many times.
We're just going to have to get some money together. We're going to have to do like a Kickstarter to buy the raw footage of that.
Yes.
So we can finally edit it together and release that bad boy.
If that guy just made that as a joke, like, that's awesome.
It is pretty awesome.
But he should come out and tell us.
It's really not that awesome.
it's the greatest thing I've ever seen. I watched that trailer like so many times and just laughed every time.
It was pretty awesome because like the guys they had playing everybody, they did not look anything like them except for Bruno Sammartino was a dead ringer. He was the only one that looked just like Bruno.
Well, I found the trailer on YouTube just now, and it says you can buy the DVD at this website. And I just went to the website, and the website's no longer a website.
Why do they tease us so, Andre Heart of the Giant? We want you.
Like Vince McMahon was like a tiny Jewish guy, and and Madison Square Garden was a fucking gym in like Ohio.
JYD was just as drunk.
He was wearing sweatpants.
It was like Seeky.
And socks with his gloves.
Seeky's a very small dude, so that would be pretty funny. Nah, he was like a real big fat dude who was like standing in front of like this broken down car. I guess that made him junkyard dog.
Somewhere.
You're like, you want two cookies, buddy? Pretend to be JYD for us.
I want to see that.
if it exists, somebody's got to hook us up with that. I think it doesn't exist, because it would have been somewhere, so, you know, now. I mean, somebody's got to have a copy of that.
Yeah.
Are we going to have to hack into this guy's computer just to get this damn film?
Yes.
It has to be seen. I mean, I'd review it. Mm. We'd have the whole cast on the show, it'd be awesome. Just think of the banners.
That would be pretty awesome.
There was like a time when I would just book guests based off what the banner would look like.
I believe Seamus was one of those guys.
Yeah, what an asshole. He was like, he messaged me. This was before anyone knew he was. He was in like a maybe it was even before developmental when he first emailed me. But he was like, he's like, I like the show. I probably still have the email somewhere. I want to come on. And I was like, okay, cool. I didn't know. It was Seamus O'Shaughnessy. And so I went to his website, and he had this crazy song about, like, axes, and it was, so I was like, this guy's awesome, and he had this crazy, he had this crazy, you know, facial hair, and so I made the banner, and then, like, I was like, so I gave him some dates, and then he was picking, then it was like, I need the questions in advance, which I really hate that, but so I wrote questions, and I didn't hear back. And I was like, you know, did you pick a date yet? And he was like, oh, thank you for the interest, but I can't do interviews. Well, unless it's set up by WWE. But he was the one who messaged me first about it, emailed me. So. Mm-hmm. But I know he probably would have gotten in trouble in WWE. But.
Yeah, no. Really good. I mean, he's too big.
But apparently
he used to listen
to the show, though, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Maybe he still does. I have no idea.
Well, you've had contracted WWE talents call into the show before, haven't you?
Yeah, yep. Yes. The guy used to be with the...
Kenny Dykstra.
Ken Doan, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He called in as Ralph.
Mm. Ralph? he was shocked that I remembered that, too.
You don't know who you're messing with here. Of course I remember that.
Yeah, I saved that number, and I called back, and, like, I got some... So whoever he was dating at the time picked up the phone. Anybody know what, like, women he was dating?
Was it Mickey James?
It didn't sound like her. I think I probably would have known that voice.
Yeah. She would have said,
I think he was dating her at the time.
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw!
He doesn't have a southern drawl.
I know, that's bullshit. I think she's spreading those legs for any old Johnny down
that's
the block.
Apparently that's what's... That's the story that was going around the locker room in WWE.
I think it's
awesome that Batista took those photos that she did and posted them all over the locker room. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. You'd have to be a pretty big asshole to do that. But
yeah, but maybe she's a real asshole, you know, and deserved it.
Maybe, yeah.
It's really fun. That's really good.
I guess she can't get back into WWE anymore because then they put out like a memo saying not to hire anybody who's been in any scandalous photos.
Yeah, that and like apparently she was one of them. Made like her and Cena were a little too close. Apparently, that's what they say.
Yeah, but I thought they liked them to get with the in-house pussy.
Yeah, but not if they're married. And not
oh, yeah, he was married out. At the time. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's kind of frowned upon.
Mr. Braddy Earl over on the Facebook page, he said that's why BB didn't have the big career everyone thought she would have, because she was banging Bob Holly, and
she was fucking old hardcore. What's the problem there?
Well, he was married.
Oh, okay, yeah, that is a problem.
Why is it, though... The women get fired for banging the married dudes, but the guys are all right.
Well, I guess like it's you don't hear about it. Like they're.
Well, then they knew. How would they? What they just think she's just banging some married guy?
Like if you read Bret Hart's book, like he just talks about like cheating on his wife all the time on the road.
Yeah. I mean, it's in wrestling, it's okay for a guy to sleep around, but not for the woman. I guess it's just the way it is in life.
Yeah.
Not that I think it's okay, but I mean, it's kind of seen that way.
It's like Mad Men, like, era, like, thinking.
It's a man's world, I suppose.
Yep.
Yeah, heard a hair!
Well, I didn't know that. Okay. He listened to Primal Rage out of you or whatever.
You're like, yeah, heard a hair!
Man.
I'm not really, I don't normally drink scotch.
Scotch?
How old is it?
I don't know.
You know, scotch gets better with age.
A day.
It was bottled yesterday.
I'm drinking day old scotch.
Hmm.
Why is he? Yeah, I mean, if I go down to the grocery store and I bought day old bread, I get it cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But if I buy scotch and it's like 30 years old, that's up to hundreds of dollars.
It gets better with age. As like bread, it just gets moldy.
Product of Scotland. Filtered through oak cask wood.
See, bread's like women, and scotch is like men.
There you go.
You guys, I really want to find this Andre movie. Like, I can't get past it.
We need to get that guy on the show and ask him, does this movie exist? Can we have it? We will purchase it from you. We will purchase all your footage and we'll edit it together and we'll put it up on our website for free and it'll be the biggest thing ever.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I'm sure you can buy it for relatively cheap.
Mm. So Lord Jaguar says Shawn Michaels is banging Vince and they're both married. Yeah, mm-hmm. And see, none of them, neither one got fired because they're both guys.
That's the way it works.
Mm-hmm. Now, who do you think was the top and the bottom in the Michaels Vince
bearskin
rug?
That's a tough one.
Because Vince really seems like a top.
Yeah.
So doesn't, you know, so, if you just see Sean, you kind of think, well, that guy's a fag. He probably takes it up the ass. But, like, he's got that manly voice. So what do you think, Incher?
Well,
if I had to wager a bet, I'd say that Michaels was the bottom.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you because Vince, he's an alpha male. He runs like a multi-million dollar company. He's definitely has to be the top.
Yeah, I don't see Vince catching. I can't see that.
He's not tossing salad. He is packing the mud.
Yeah,
that's true. Boxman said his name is Hickenbottom.
See, there's a scoop for you, Davey.
Davey Meltzer. King of the internet. Dirt sheets. Alright. What do you think about Davey Meltzer or Jobes?
I don't give a shit about him at all. Like, he was on Colt Cabana's podcast recently.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to that interview and it was the worst fucking interview I've ever heard. Like he's a boring guy. Every time I've seen him on, he used to do that Yahoo thing. I don't know. Does he still do that?
No, I don't believe so.
No, that was horrible too. He's just and the suits he would wear.
Yeah, he does wear some awesome suits. I think they're pretty sweet. I'd wear those.
Well, you do have awesome taste in fashion there, mm-hmm. Jack.
I do. I think so. All right, Jobes. You're a good man. It's good talking to you. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks, guys.
Take
care,
easy, Jobes.
All right. Now, before we wrap this up, Incher.
Yeah.
While I was off, people think I was off just like friggin', I don't know. What did you guys think I was doing while I've been on the show? Just friggin' just hopping around.
I thought you were going for like the world record of pogo sticks, and you're practicing up. I don't know.
You guys thought I was just being a, you know, dipshit, basically. But I was hard at work. I hired a private detective.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to get to the bottom of... I want to find out who raped Jimmy Jam. And my private detective
the private eye, he has narrowed it down that it is a member of the Hediverse. Incher. So someone within the Hediverse, this could be someone in the chat room, it could be someone on the Facebook page, or it could be a caller, could be a host. Someone in the Hediverse is the culprit. So, every week here on the show, I'm gonna cross off, people that it could be, and we will get down by 2014, the first show of 2014, we will find out who this dirty, dirty culprit is, the rapist of Jimmy Jam. What do you think about that?
I don't know what to think about this.
So, I was talking to the detective, Private Eye, and he was looking through pictures. He was getting down to the nitty gritty, and some of the people that have come up were the Ultimate Beef.
As a suspect?
He is one of the suspects. But I will say this, and it's good for Ultimate Beef. We have cleared his name. He is not the rapist of Jimmy Dream.
I really don't want to go along with this bit.
It's real.
I don't know. I don't really think it's appropriate. It's not real. You made this up.
What?
You sound so stunned. What? You know, you made it up.
So you're saying he really did it? He's not cleared?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't want to do this. That's what I'm
saying.
All right.
Well, I will, we've cleared him. We're going to go right to the culprit.
Oh, gee, wonder who it's going to be.
Well, I was going to get the 12 suspects and put them on the prize wheel and find out who was the rapist by some of the luck of the spin. But we're going to get right to it. And he's done a lot of research here. And I was going to say the winner. The rapist is the song man. So there you go.
Well, that was a hell of a bit.
It would have been. With the song man who you can see right now taking pictures of puzzles in his underwear.
You see, nobody would have got that joke, though, 8 months from now.
Apparently he took that right after it is away with Jimmy Jam on his Buzz 3D.
Pay no attention, he's been drinking.
Just a little bit.
I could use that as a defense, but you've had it on your Facebook for a while now.
What?
That you're doing this.
So I'm not a good guy?
I definitely have to question your motives here. I don't know. I don't think it's funny.
I do. Alright, Inchman. So anything else in the world of wrestling?
No, nothing comes to mind. I think we're done.
We're done for?
For now, anyways.
Alright. So next week here on In Your Head, it's going down.
Down to Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll see you all next week. Come join us. Same In Your Head time. Same In Your Head channel. And keep your noses clean. Stay out of trouble. Anything you want to say, Jack?
Keep on keeping on. And it's good to be back.
Back in
the saddle again.
Back in the saddle again. Should I play him out with some tunage?
No.
Why have I shorter ones? Have you ever heard the final cage down? It's pretty sweet.
I've heard that one. Good lord. You didn't even ask that question.
I didn't think you ever heard it.
I've heard it. You're like, yes, it's the final cage down.
How about Intraquin?
Itcher likes the blue cage. And Jack likes a mesh.
You've got it memorized.
It's the final cage. I got a few words remembered.
You got it memorized. You got it like friggin' burned in your heart.
Well, you hear it every fucking week. You're gonna remember it.
I haven't played it in years.
I swear to God, if you play anything, I'm calling up Dwayne and we're having the longest Total Divas segment ever. Don't think I forgot. Alrighty. See you all next week. Right, Jack?
Yep. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to find a good one here for a while. Did you ever hear of the night intro quit in your head?
Yeah, I've heard that one.
No surrender.
I'm not sure about that one. I play it.
These matches won't be a fence.
Oh, yeah, I remember this one.
Head-on collision and no surrender. HD videos take so long to render. It don't even matter, 'cause it's time for no surrender. Ain't no time to be a pretender. No, no. Give it all you got. But no surrender.
Is there an echo in the back?
What?
Like you're singing it twice or something?
Power wrestling bender. What?
I heard like two people singing it.
No. Just my voice is so amazing. No surrender.
Yeah. You can see from that showcase right there.
I can't stop it. Won't be a
You lie. You can stop it anytime you want.
Never. Here's a blast.
Yo,
fest.
This is WKC 107 FM, banging your balls radio, playing you all the hits. Line 6, you're on the air. What do you want to hear?
Hey, Jack, this is the fish sticker. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener.
So cut to the chase, dude. What do you want to hear?
Can you play Poison Amphetamines by DJ Tyler?
What?
Amphetamines by DJ Tyler. It's drum and bass.
DJ who? Drum and bass? Are you kidding me? Nobody listens to that garbage. Who wants to listen to something with no singing? Trying to dance at warp speed in a dark warehouse full of sweaty drug addicts?
When you're the porno music kicking
that
in.
Garbage. Okay, sorry about that, listeners. Here is something actually worth listening to. 50 Cent and Eminem with Thug Don't Play That.
Because that fine cool. Acting can only be seen in pornography.
So you're saying you want to film a porno with me?
No.
I think that's what you just said.
Well, you're the bottom.
Not want to bang you up the ass. Me about that, boy.
Oh, God. Alrighty, everybody. I think we've done this show long enough. Everybody should have their fix by now. See you later, podcast marks.
How about this one's a tree?
What do you got? You seriously got something?
No, it's been this.
Alright, we'll see you all next week.
Hey, this is High Flying Chris Hammack, and you're listening In Your Head Online.com.